Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Now to examine some matter. Any old matter will do.
Mon, that's some cheap-ass matter. What the hell is it?
Oh, it's just a log I found in a hole in the bottom of the sea. Now, to penetrate its deepest mysteries. Oh my! There's a frog on a bump on this log that I found in a hole in the bottom of the sea!
And that's the ultimate secret of the universe?
Apparently so. Wait! There's a snail on the tail of the frog on the bump on this log that I found in a hole in the bottom of the sea!
Dear Liza!
There's a bank on on the germ, on the chigger, on the flea, on the hare, on the wart, on the frog, on the knot, on the log, in the hole, in the bottom of the sea. There's a danger on germ, on the chigger, on the flea, on the hare, on the wart, on the frog, on the knot, on the log, in the hole, in the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's no hole. We've done filled up the hole in the bottom of the sea.
Hello, everybody. Have you ever reached a point in life where nothing makes sense? You kind of feel that everything is either unrealistic or a lie, baseless or illogical? I think I've kind of been going through that. I've been living in through some dark days here recently. I don't know what's going on, but trying to get a grip on life and reality, because I hear all these things out there in the world that are supposedly wrong, and I step forward and I try to put my 2 cents worth, I guess, into trying to resolve the issues and, you know, bring people together and hope to try to resolve it and make the world a better place. I don't know whether or not it's impatience or just circumstance or whatever. Seems like you get there every once in a while. I actually kind of was there yesterday during the Mad Science show. Even had mentioned about, you know, shutting everything down and walking away, because it just seemed like no matter how much you shout out to all 4 points of the compass in hopes to reach the dream team, so to speak, and bring these folks together to try to resolve the issues of the world, it just seems like the wheels of justice grind really slow. And for, you know, a person like myself who sees things in a different fashion, I guess, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's kind of where I wanted to start off today. Don't really sound like a very good place to start when you're trying to make the world a better place, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one in this world that's actually going through that type of darkness and trying to figure out a way to, instead of feed the darkness, to command the darkness to go away. And, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of, faith and all that kind of stuff to believe it's even remotely possible. So with that said, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where there's 4 separate chat rooms so that it don't get crowded. And if you want, scroll down on that super chat and jump on that People for People radio link and go over and say hi to those nice folks as well. There's some really wonderful people over there at People for People radio. Their name just says it all, People for People. Also check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. Another good bunch of group of people, good people, really good people. So in this world that we, nothing makes sense in this world, there are good people out there coming together and making the attempt to actually make things make sense, you know, or at least ease the burden, I guess, make the journey a little less harder than it would have been otherwise alone. Now, I know for a fact that I'm not alone in this world. You know, I know that it's not all doom and gloom and that there's a lot of goodness in the world. But, you know, just the human side of me, I guess, the heart side of me. Sometimes having a heart like mine is a curse rather than a blessing, because I take the time to care about a lot of things. And when I listen to the world tell me how bad the world really is, you know, with all the different terrible things going on out there, and there really ain't nothing to laugh about, actually, when you look at the grand scheme of things. But you get to a point where you have to learn to laugh in the face of adversity, or otherwise life will get you down. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world, and people are being pitted against each other, and they're you know, sides being chosen between the light and the dark, you know, and I think that we're probably on the cusp of the greatest battle in the history of time for, you know, good versus evil, because if you, you know, take a look at what's going on in the human race or human condition or however you want to say it, is that even though we've been, I feel like we've been blessed with so much, so many wonderful opportunities and resources and knowledge that we could actually excel to, you know, amazing heights if we really chose to do so. I mean, it's a case that you have to be able to understand that we can't do this thing alone. We have to have each other. We are that connected that without each other's talents and gifts and skills, that we could never succeed. You see, and every time there's a triumph where people overcome adversity in movies or whatever, even in real life, it's always because the people didn't question what needs to be done. They just came together and they did it. They made it happen. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I'm still hearing about starving babies in the world, you know, of course that's something that's going to tug on my heart. I don't want nobody starving in this world. If I'm hearing about wars and people dying and people sickness and you know, I'm looking into all this different research out there, you know, if the research that I'm reading isn't true, then I don't know what to do to help people out. You know, I scientific wise, I look at medical research and all the testimonials of what is possible out there, and I paid attention in science class. So in my mind, I see things mechanically. I see things that are solutions to problems that we're told exist in this world. And so it doesn't make any sense to me that we're still in the state of affairs that we are. Now granted, I've been told a million, if not a trillion times that we are moving towards making things better. That people are waking up and people are starting to come together and things are happening, you know. And that's good because I like to hear, you know, the sounds of hope. I guess sometimes in some circumstances I become my own worst enemy because the things that happen in my mind that tell me, you know, it just seems like it's hopeless, you know. Like, for example, I'm going through a drought right now. Was, but now it's actually raining outside. So, you know, had I waited instead of being frustrated because all my ponds were going dry, I didn't realize that water was on the way, that the drought was going to, you know, break, and maybe my pond would get filled back up and everything would be all, you know, happy and lovable again and all that kind of stuff. And so my concern for all the wildlife out there needing a pond full of water or whatever, you know, was overshadowed by the dry grass and the pond level getting down there terribly. And I'm like, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I do to anger nature, or, you know, what was it? What's going on here? And compounded with that, you know, look out there into the so-called rabbit hole, the matrix that we call this world, and I see all the atrocities occurring. I hear all the negativity and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, it just it takes its toll on a heart that is filled with love. And my mind actually becomes my worst enemy. There was a story that I told just the other day about a story that happened to me years ago where I was so incredibly depressed. I couldn't see straight. I was so depressed. And so I go down to my family's house because I wanted to try to, you know, sit around with my family and hopefully they'll cheer me up and, you know, I'll get some comfort being with my family. But I sat down there and I started listening to everybody, and everybody started telling me all these stories. Well, this one's dying of cancer, and this one, you know, is sick of this, or, you know, this one's gone to jail, or this one's losing their house, and all this, it seemed like everybody kept feeding off everybody and trying to top the last negative story. And as I sat there drinking my cup of coffee, I sunk further and further down into the chair I was sitting in. My depression just kind of just becomes so incredibly overwhelming. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was a couple of my relatives come in, and they were yelling at each other at the top of their lungs and talking about how they hated each other and they hated this other person and somebody else was sick and all this kind of stuff. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. I snapped and I stood up, and I probably didn't say very nice words, but pretty much to sum it all up, I said, you know, I'm getting the heck up out of here. I said, I came over here because I was all depressed and I needed to be around my family so that I could, cheer myself up. But after listening to all you people, I said, I don't think my life is that bad. I'm going home. And so I left. But that's just an example of, what I'm talking about. And I'm sure that there's other people in this world that feel the same way as what I'm describing here. You know, I'm reaching out to people out there, and I'm trying to tell them, I'm saying, hey, you know, you're valuable. You're really important. But sometimes I find it hard personally to take my own advice. Sometimes I struggle, you know, fighting against that darkness, whatever's on my back at the given time. I start fighting with it, you know, and I'm struggling to take my own advice, to believe in myself, to believe in the good of humanity, that we can all bring things together and we can resolve issues and we can make things right. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what is the actual truth of the world. I know what people tell me, okay? And I know that people have beliefs that there are certain things in this world that they believe to be the truth. And if you want to be intellectually honest with yourself, or just basically honest with yourself, none of us really know the truth. But it sure is nice to have something like the Knights of the Round Table, where we can actually come together. And like I mentioned to Barbara in a comment that I said on there, I said maybe we can we can try to attempt to make sense of it together. That's about all we can do. The thing about it is, folks, we need each other more than we could possibly imagine at this point in the game. With all the crazy stuff going on in this world and, all the darkness. You know, I sit there and as I'm thinking about this today's show, and I'm dreading even opening my mouth. I didn't even want to talk this morning, and I'm thinking about this whole deal and I'm saying nothing makes sense. And these words in my head start ringing out about how you can't lay down to darkness. You've got to, if you want to fight darkness, you got to command darkness. You got to tell darkness to go away, and you got to make darkness leave by shining your light as bright as you possibly can. Because darkness will overshadow you. It doesn't care about your race. It doesn't care about your ethnicity or your religious beliefs, or whether you are politically one side of the fence or the other. Darkness doesn't care. Just like I mentioned many times before, peace never came from the end of a barrel of gun. And, war never solved anything. So these things that we in our hearts we fight against all the time, we're going to have to do this together. That's all there is. That's all there is to it. You can't get peace through violence. You never could. But you also can't lay down to the evils of this world. You have to stand against them. You have to use your voice. You have to shine your light. You have to do something. And I think, for the most part, I think that's what we attempt to do here. Even though we sometimes fight against people with negative views and trolls or whatever, and things that people just don't want you to say, or artificial intelligence, or even government agencies for that matter. Who knows? We might be in the Truman Show for all we know. But the thing is, if we're going to find the real truth, then we're going to have to do it together. Because at this point in the game, at least for me personally, nothing makes any sense. we got solutions and answers according to everything I see. You know, I'm looking at a toolbox, and I'm looking at the size of the bolt that needs to be loosened up or tightened up on the other side. And I'm saying, well, there's the wrench right there. You know, want somebody pick that up, and I'll grab this pry bar over here and, you know, hold some pressure on it while you tighten it up or whatever. And so that's how my mind works. How my heart works, I couldn't explain to you. I can tell you that my heart has become a burden here in the last, seems like about a month. But I'm working my way through it. And I'm doing it with the help of my friends. Hey, Barbara, how you doing?
Well, hi there, Shaziz. Good morning, and good morning, everyone out there. We're talking to you here from Turtle Island, and it's part of the globe, the Mother Earth. And, it's raining over here, too. Got some rain coming in the last 2 days. And, I'm just listening to you talking, and kind of felt there was a little bit of a down feeling there. And I know we go through that. I get that. And I guess you'd say these days it's we're being pummeled with so much, news or situations or circumstances that seem like a never-ending cycle of doom and gloom, that's for sure. I think it's a big challenge for us these days to keep ourselves kind of centered. You know, the word centered means, you know, you're not like wobbling all over the place with emotions, and the emotions meaning, you know, the giving up or the fear or the hopelessness and all that stuff. And it's easy to fall into those things today, I guess I'd say. I think it's more work for us today because of the state of affairs that we are subject to or that we are aware of. But there's a whole other side, to things that are going on that we're not aware of. And I suppose today we have to make more of an effort to find those things. I'm just saying there are things out there, circumstances and situations, studies and experiences and so on that are completely opposite of the doom and gloom. And so I guess I'd say why are we being swept along, you know, into this frame of mind. I think we're inundated with the monkey mind itself. You know, we all have that monkey mind that it's just its job. You know, the monkey mind's job is to be a doom and gloomer and one who is the doubter and one who is the negativity. Well, that's ridiculous or that's not good. Nothing's ever going to change. I mean, the monkey mind is implanted in us, I guess, to drive us wacko and to terrify us. And then you have the mainstream media terrifying us, and you have the political arena, and you have people's perspectives shouting and screaming today at things that are quite shocking and stunning. And you have all this espionage going on, and you have people pushing for World War III, or people just pushing for war. I mean, it's just like this is what we're being inundated with. And then energetically, if you're just minding your own business, going about your land and working with your pond and working with getting up every day and having a good day, you know, there's something going on out there in the ethers that we are subjected to because we're all so connected. You know, we're not just some solid block of cement here. We have sensitivities to things. We have an awareness and a consciousness. And, you know, in different levels of awakeness, so we're sort of subjected to all kinds of, you know, fodder going on. And I think it's time that we take more responsibility, or I'm going to even throw the word control in there, about our thoughts. It's the monkey mind will work to really knock us down, destroy us, and create an experience of that doom and gloom. So when we're being pummeled and inundated like that, you know, it's sort of like you got to put your warrior shield on, and you got to say, I'm not going to go there, I'm sick and tired of this crap, you know, and stand up and throw that energy out, because that works. It does work. I guess our what we perceive, you know, is from our own choice, from our own free will. And you know, people have had tremendously horrific experiences in their lives, and they have an outlook beyond doom and gloom, but of hope, and also of positiveness, and they turn it around for themselves. Things could be horrific for others, and they still have joy in their life, or they still help someone else who might be worse off than they are. And these are human things. This is what a human being is. But we're also, as I said, subjected to that monkey mind, an imprint from all other sources. But we have something else inside of us. You know, we have something, a light, a bright light, an inner wisdom, an inner knowing, a connectedness, a fundamental nature of ourselves. But we have to seek it oftentimes, because there's a cloud sometimes in our brain, in our mind, a cloud, and then there's these programs that run through our heads. And so it's sort of like stand up, take charge, and choose with your free will how you want your day to be. I'm not saying you're doing wrong there. I'm just saying this is something I think we need more and more today to do. And I know people are really suffering out there. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying if you're like out on the street, although I must say there are people who are living out on the street who have a different attitude of things, you know? It's not a good place to be, for sure. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
That's one thing that really kind of, I don't know, I guess it's one of the demons that jump on my back, is because I know that there's people out there in this world that are so much worse off than me, because I've heard all the stories, and I'm thinking, you know, how dare me be feeling like I'm feeling right now when I'm truly blessed. I mean, I live on 16 acres, you know. There's people that ain't even got a square foot that they can call their own. And I don't necessarily call it my own. I mean, it's God's land as far as I'm concerned. But I'm blessed to be able to, you know, have free run of this beautiful place out here. And I shouldn't feel bad that, you know, I got all this or whatever. But then again, I do, because I know that there's other people in this world worse off than I am. And so when I feel bad, do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Well, I get it. I do that. But see, this is where we get swallowed up.
Yeah.
Your intellect and your conscious awareness tells you, wait a second, there are people worse off than me. But your experience in the moment is real. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is we all go through those experiences where we're pummeled and where we're dragged down into this dark hole and we're feeling, you know, like we can't get up and out. And I think this is happening, and I also feel that you're not alone in that, but I also feel that what I'm talking about is, okay, how do we extricate ourselves? How do we escape from this? How do we move out of that energy? Because it's just an energy. Like, in reality, you're not living on the street. In the reality, you are where you are, you know. You have your family, you have your land, your water, and so on and so forth, and you're doing good things. What's your reality? I call it do a reality check. When you're, like, down, and you're, like, in the dark, and you're, like, feeling like, I just can't do this anymore, it's like using the words, okay, what's my reality, the real thing? What is really going on in my life? You do a reality check. When you start checking off things like, okay, where am I in this moment? Well, I'm in my home. Well, that's a good thing. Who's with me? Well, my family, my wife, my children, whom I love, and they love me. Okay, that's a beautiful thing. Do I have food? I do have food. You know, do I have warmth? I do have warmth. You know, am I decently healthy? You know, am I striving to gain more health? That's a reality check. When you start identifying the things in your personal, I call it personal universe, or your personal environment, that's a reality check. You know, am I ill today? You know, am I in the hospital? No, that's not real for you. But what is real? What's the reality of your experience in the moment? That sets you, disconnects you from the monkey mind and from the rhetoric of doom and gloom and things are horrible and and so on. Now, your personal universe is where you want to get back to, where there is reality and truth of your experience. It doesn't mean that you're ignoring what's out there, that there are people suffering and there are wrongs going on.
Yeah,
okay?
I think that's the painful portion right there, is that I'm wanting everyone else out there to be happy, be able to be happy. I want them to be able to have a home. I want them to be able to have everything, all their needs met. You know,
well, here's another, I'm going to interrupt. Here's another reality check on that, what you just said. So, I feel that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful, compassionate, human, assessment of things. I want people to be happy. I want people to be joyous. I would love for all people to be free of fear, pain, slavery, assault, but I want that too. But I had to come to the reality that I cannot do all of that for those people. I am not God. I am not a, you know, whatever. I have limited abilities, even though I would love to be able to wave a magic wand. I don't have a wand.
You hit
okay?
the nail right on the head. You said it exactly like I'm thinking it. Amazing.
So it's about what, the monkey mind will come in and tell you, whoa, you aren't doing enough, and you can't do anything, it's hopeless, it's all miserable, and you can't do anything, and the other side of you, your heart, spirit says, I want all people to be happy and joyous, and that's your real self. The other part that comes in is the monkey mind, or the ego, or whatever it is, or the imprint that says, forget it, you know, you're not doing enough, you're not good enough, you're not powerful enough. You know, and you're failing, and we're losing, and you're losing, and so the dividing and the separating of the positive from the negative is really key in how we deal every day in life. And the reality check is a really key element. I know you have a good heart, Jesus. I know you, and that's why I'm talking with you, because I absolutely love you, and you have a good heart. You're a good person. I'm not saying you're perfect and you haven't made mistakes. We all have. That's for sure. I'm not talking about that.
I agree.
You know, I'm just saying that there are times when I see things going on that I feel overwhelmed, because I feel this should never be. You know, and I'm not in control of people's lives. You know, none of us are. I can only take care of my own life and control my actions, my thoughts, my behaviors, my, you know, perceptions of things and so on. I can do so much around me, but when I do something positive, when I send out a prayer, when I do something positive or reach out, that has a repercussion, like that pebble in the pond. We forget that. You see, we forget that when we're being pummeled by that entity or energy that says, saying, give up, it's hopeless, the world's doom and gloom. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I'm like a sponge. If I'm around negativity, I absorb it up just like a sponge. And it just drives me batty, because, I don't know, I got these scales of justice in my mind that just, everything needs to work its way out and everything's going to be resolved and all this kind of stuff. And I just listen to how people out there have been so divided against each other, and the things that they argue about. Sometimes when I listen to them argue, I wonder if they really got what it is that they've been protesting for or whatever.
Right.
Would they truly be happy?
What I feel is a lot of people's emotions are being, they're being pressured to, and their emotions are arising and being expressed in a way that I'm looking at the rage of the people, and I'm looking in this moment of time of this rage of the women, and I get the rage, I do. I totally get the rage, the enraged women, because we've had, the history, of course, women have been disenfranchised, women have been kept down, stepped on, pushed aside, duct taped, and not believed and not heard, been punished and pummeled and thrown into insane asylums for their hysteria, and I mean on and on and on.
But it's the people out there who would use those negative things that have happened to these women to their political advantage or ideological advantage, and this is what we're seeing out here in this world.
Well, that's evil. And we have to know, I feel, that that does exist, that there are people out there who would use these ploys, and particularly to manipulate persons' emotions, to get them to do what they want them to do for their own gain, you know, for their own purposes. And it's a political, I guess I'm talking right now, politicizing our situation, our circumstances today. I have had conversations with women recently who are so enraged because of their own personal experiences around men and around this system that has degraded them that they can't see straight. You see, rage is a powerful emotion.
But
rage also disallows you to think critically. It disallows you to have compassion and common sense. And this is where we are today. We have centuries of rage of women, and the Me Too movement, I think, is a powerful movement. But now we are at a time when we must be using critical thinking. We can't just clump all men in this system as nasty men, evil men, rapists, and abusers, and they're hopeless, and we just need to put them all in jail. But this is what I see happening in this situation, recent situation with Judge Kavanaugh and this Blasey Ford accusation. I saw people that I know for years, and I also know their history around men and their circumstances, their personal circumstances, jump on the bandwagon to say that this man is despicable, he's guilty, before proven innocent, before any due process. A due process in the law of this country, our rights has gone out the window. This man is guilty across the board by some women and some men who just got on the bandwagon because of their own personal experiences this centuries of in being enraged.
Well, what we're seeing here goes all the way back to an example that could be given of the witch burnings, where they would literally drowned women or whatever.
Well, it's not just women.
If they drowned, then they weren't. Yeah, it could have been men too, I'm sure. But either way, any person, if they drowned this person,
it's guilty. Period. You're guilty because someone accused you, or you're guilty because someone doesn't like your politics, or you're guilty because someone doesn't like the way you look. This is the Inquisition.
Yeah, but what I'm saying though, the backwards thinking that if the person if you drowned them and they actually died, then they must not have been a witch, and so they're justified by their death. And that's just what I'm talking about.
This is the insanity, and this is where the insanity rises today. We are in that frame of insanity, and we are being pushed basically by a systematic agenda.
Yes.
That wants us pitted against each other, that wants us divided in many ways, divided by color, divided by religion, divided by by choice and what your politics are or how you dress. And so I mean speaking with people who I first of all, just to say, the accuser in our system must have proof.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Well, there is no proof, in this particular circumstance. There is no proof, there's just accusation. And there's memory, repressed memory, by the way, which doesn't hold up in a court of law. And people argue with me, well, this wasn't a trial, it wasn't a court trial. But in fact, it really was a court trial, because this man was on trial, and he was being accused in front of the whole world, basically, in this testimony. And this woman was accusing him from a repressed memory, and spoke of allies, people, friends that were there with her, and every one of those people, including Leland, her best friend, basically said she has no recollection of the party or Kavanaugh. And then something occurred after that. Blasey Ford's people, lawyers, connected with her and told her she needs to revive her statement. And she was threatened to revive her statement. And she wrote about that. You can find that on the news. So what's going on here? So anyway, Kavanaugh was confirmed and voted on by a thin hair, two different votes, I guess. But there was threatened. People were threatening people that if you vote him in, you're done. Your life will be hell. This man, Kavanaugh, and his family got death threats. Ford got death threats. This is insanity that we have reached here to the max. There is a political ploy to prevent Kavanaugh, a conservative judge, to get in because the FISA redacted documents will be coming out and they will all be in trouble. Now, if you don't know that, you need to do some research about what is really going on. This is not about a sexual assault or an attempted sexual assault. This has got nothing to do with it. This is a political agenda, a political ploy to basically prevent him from being put and sit on the judicial Supreme Court because of what the FISA documents are being released. And the president basically was approached by some of the Dems and said to him, if you pull back and disallow these redacted FISA documents and the fusion documents from coming out, we'll pull back on this accusation by Blasey Ford. Well, that right there tells you what is going on. But the people, I'm talking about your average people, the people you know, your friends, your family, are already lynching this man because this woman, and women are saying women need to be believed. And I agree, women do need to be believed because they have been for centuries not believed. But in this case, you have no proof. You have no corroboration of witnesses. That's down the tubes. And you have perjury happening. Now being found out by Blasey Ford, who said she never, ever helped anyone with a polygraph. And in fact, that's come forward that she has. She has an involvement, sad to say. It's all coming out. It's got a lot of holes in it. But my concern is about the general public, about where they've gone to hang this man because he's just a man. He is a man, and he's been accused by a woman, and you must believe in the women because we have not been believed for centuries, and hang the man regardless because a woman has accused him, period. That's it.
Well, it's just like those book burnings that we talked about. They just pretty much, mob mentality jumped on the bandwagon and went out without even thinking about the future repercussions towards their families or themselves or whatever.
Well, it's mass hysteria, and that's pushed by certain people. That's a manipulation. When you rev up people, mass hysteria, the wolf pack syndrome, I call it, you're touching on emotional, psychological issues, pulling them and drawing them, pushing them into this mass hysteria. This is what mob rule is about. This is what happens.
It's been said that the Democratic Party had been hijacked by the Communist Party, and the Democrat Party isn't what it used to be, as far as I can see.
The original Democrat. I agree with you there. I think there's been a huge change, and it sort of happened after Reagan, and then of course we have Kennedy. Who spoke about this corruption in the government and that he was going to expose it. And that was like, then he was dead.
Yeah. Well, I see now, this picture you put in there of Kennedy and Trump, and thank God Trump's still alive. I mean, look, I get it. People don't...
Well, regardless of whether you like the man or not, you have to look at the policies that he has signed, the presidential executive orders that he signed against child sex trafficking. And against wrongs against humanity. I mean, he has signed these. The first thing he did when he went into office in December of 2016, that's what he did.
Yeah.
So, but people don't know that because you won't find that information on mainstream media. Nobody knows this. And also the amount of sex traffickers and child pornographers that have basically been being arrested since he's been in. There's a list of those people, by the way. You can find that if you do the research. But people don't like him, and I get that. But I'm just saying, let's be honest, people. You have to just not hate someone for various reasons and not address or even take note of some of the good things that person is doing.
Well,
like, look at Kavanaugh, for instance. His history, he has been vetted by the FBI for 6 times. They never found nothing. no history of his drunkenness, of his slovenliness, of his rape cult, the rapist that he's supposed to be, the abuser he's supposed to be. The FBI, he's been out in public for a long time with what he's been doing, working for presidents, a judge, and making, you know, various other things, his policies on law, his policy basically on Roe versus Wade. He says, you know, you cannot eliminate a law that has been in place for, you know, for all these times in the particular system and the way that it was put up. But people are being told that, oh, he's going to eliminate Roe versus Wade, it's going to destroy the women will be dying, and so everybody gets enraged and crazy and hysterical because women have fought so long to have the right to their own choices and free will, what to do with their bodies or not.
Yep.
I'm just saying that the hysteria here, people have to wake up and see where this is leading us, to riots in the street, which is going to lead to perhaps martial law, where there's going to be violence.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. But since we're talking about judges, you know, if people actually look at the judicial system and what it's supposed to be all about, it's like the Statue of Lady Liberty with a blindfold on. You're supposed to be skeptical of both sides of the story, but listen to the evidence and then that evidence.
I mean, by law, that is the representation of the.
But that's not what we're seeing.
Lady Justice is you are biased. You don't sit on the bench with bias, you know. But
yeah.
I mean, it's humanness of the human nature, of course. But this man has a history. Basically that you have to look at, but these people are not, they don't want to look at the history, and they don't want to look or hear from the women, 65 plus women from high school through college that he is still remains friends with, some he dated and some, you know, who have met him in the judicial systems and his work, 65 plus women who stand behind him and say he's an upstanding person, he's an upstanding man, he's respectful, he's kind, and he's, you know, honest and blah blah blah. People don't, they're not interested in that.
Yep.
They're not interested. That blows my mind.
Well, that's why I was saying, if some of these people actually get what they think they want by protesting and doing all this stuff, are they really going to be satisfied with the world that they bring about?
No, they're not. Unfortunately, you know why? Because the manipulators are still present, and the manipulators are still, they'll find something else.
Well, if you go to communist China, for example, and you was a protester from the United States, and you made the comments or even the actions that you did over there, and that's, keep in mind, we're talking about a communist country. They're blatantly, openly communist, and they control information. So you don't have all the rights that you do over here. Now imagine, if these folks, if the Communist Party has actually infiltrated the Democratic Party, and all these people are following the Democratic Party, and they're using these people, what's his face? I can't remember what. I think it was from Russia. Told that the people are useful idiots. All right, and so they will actually.
Soros. Well, is it Soros?
Yeah,
it's one of them.
Maybe, but they say basically we're saying that, you know, you can use these people to further your political agenda by, you know, tugging on their heartstrings, or, you know, calling people racist or homophobes or xenophobes. And so these folks are following the Democratic Party because they believe that the Democratic Party has their best interest. But think about for a second what I'm talking about China. If China doesn't have a problem of running over their own people with tanks, or, you know, going around one-child policy or all these other things, imagine how you, as an American citizen, is going to fare going over there protesting the Chinese government for, you know, gay rights or whatever it is that you believe in. They don't care what you got to say. By definition, communism isn't what you think it is. If you just actually look up at the history of what's gone on throughout the world, the atrocities where thousands, if not millions of people were either murdered by dictators or imprisoned for their political views or whatever, it's not what you want. And if these people actually finally get the government, you know, control away from them, just to receive something that was worse, I mean, it's bad enough they keep calling us a democracy here in the United States. We're not a democracy. We've never been a democracy. It's not mob rule here. We're set up as a representative republic, which is a big difference than democracy. And you need to be glad for it, because what you've seen with this deal with this judge, when mob rules, they were cornering the doggone senators in the elevators and at the restaurants, and telling even other senators and congresswomen, men and women both, were telling them pretty much go out there and get in these people's faces.
Well, Murkowski, the Alaskan senator, I think her name is Murkowski, there's a photograph of Dianne Feinstein basically in a position of a very... sort of like aggressive, threatening position. It's a photograph. It's an iconic photograph, actually. And there was a tape recorder that she doesn't know. Someone was taping their dialogue, by the way, which hasn't come out yet, but it will. She was threatening Murkowski, because Murkowski was planning on voting yes for Kavanaugh, but she did vote no, because of this threat. And these are the things that go on, and you have this, meek, mild, always this tottering elderly Feinstein there shows herself in the Senate and whatever, and then you have this photograph of her. She looks like a bulldog ready to attack this woman, holding a position of aggressiveness in this hallway. It's pretty telling. And again, I say there is a there was an audio that she was unaware of that will prove that she was threatening Murkowski, that you better change your vote. You better vote against Kavanaugh. And then this other senator, I think her name is Collins, from Maine, she gave a really powerful, insightful, precise, explanatory talk at the Senate about why she's choosing to vote yes for Kavanaugh. She's being threatened. Her life is being threatened. This is where we've come to, people.
Yeah. And that's why I say none of this makes any sense, because if you go out and talk to some of these protesters, well, no matter what's... you can name any protest, whether for whatever purpose or whatever reason. If you go out there and you actually talk to just the average Joe alone, they base everything they're raging about what the mainstream media has fed them. That's the only information they got. And then maybe what they might have seen on the alternative media out here on the internet. But if you sit there and try to have a logical debate with these individuals, they will get frustrated. They do not want to see past anything that they believe in, anything that's contrary.
Well, because it's become personal and emotional, and you see, that's the ploy, is to get people in their emotional, psychological, mixed-up hate state and their own personal memories in regards to perhaps an abuse, a violation, or a rape. So Time magazine come out with a big picture, a picture of Ford, and the headline basically was, if you don't believe this woman, you have never been raped. In other words, you have to believe this woman, okay? You have to believe her, and if you don't believe her, you've never experienced a rape or an assault. And I was outraged by that, because you know what? That means we cannot use our critical thinking. We can't use our own instinct or our critical thinking or common sense. We have to believe a woman who accused a man who has no proof, absolutely no proof, no cooperation from her own witnesses, that she says, and her case has basically fell apart. She was used by the Democrats, which is really a pity. She asked for confidentiality. They leaked, and the FBI is investigating that, and they will find out who leaked her letter, put her in the front page of mainstream media, and exposed her against her will, using her, and so on. And so if you have never been raped or violated, then you don't know what it's like, then you can't, you know, basically you have no right to say, I don't believe this woman. Something doesn't feel correct to me. There's no corroboration. She has no proof. It's just accusation. Now, I basically have been violated in the past. I was nearly murdered by someone, and I was raped. But I still feel, critical thinking, using my own critical thinking, that there were holes in her story. She had no cooperation. That's obvious. Her witnesses didn't come forward for her. That's obvious. So therefore, I'm told that I must not know what I'm talking about, because how could I say, how could I believe Judge Kavanaugh, okay, because if I was raped, I would basically believe her. I mean, in other words, that means I have no critical thinking, that I have no common sense of my own. I can't determine on my own who's right, who's wrong, who's telling the truth or not. I must go with the mob. I must align myself with that mob. You know, I mean, I was outraged by that. Yes, I've been molested. I've been sexually assaulted. I was nearly murdered. But I see clearly the holes in her story. But I'm a bad person now. I'm being attacked. Okay, this is where we're going. I mean, where's the common sense of the people? Where's the critical thinking? Their emotions are being ramped up, and I get it. There are women who have been violated, raped, never were believed, were told that they were to blame, it was their fault, or they kept quiet all the years because who would believe them anyway? I get that. But basically what I'm seeing now is common sense has gone out the window, and this emotional outrage is being ramped up and pushed deliberately by the deep state.
Well, it's what I've been trying to
figure
out.
But I want to get into, listen, let's talk about some good things. What would you say to this if I said to you that it is looking more of a possibility that JFK Jr. is actually alive?
I don't know. Right now, my mind is just in a swirl, a whirlpool. I'm sitting here, I'm reading a deal says when the son of David was king in Jerusalem, he was known to be very wise, and he said, "Nothing makes sense. Everything is nonsense. I have seen it all. Nothing makes sense. What is there to show for all our hard work here on this earth? People come and people go, but still the world never changes. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, it hurries right back to where it started from. The wind blows south, the wind blows north, round and round it blows over and over again. All rivers empty into the sea, but it never spills over. One by one, the rivers return to the source. All of life is far more boring than words could ever say. Our eyes and our ears are never satisfied with all we see and hear. Everything that happens has happened before. Nothing is new, nothing under the sun. Someone might say, here is something new, but it happened before, long before we were born. No one who lived in the past is remembered anymore, and everyone yet to be born will be forgotten too. It's senseless to be wise." Yeah.
Well, I just disagree with that whole thing.
Well, I'm just saying,
I mean, it sounded like he was having a bad day.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this is not,
I'm just saying,
What I'm feeling in my mind is something that somebody somewhere else years prior had felt and wrote about as well. And so while I'm sitting here grasping towards trying to make sense of why we can't fix things, because I'm seeing the answers right before my very eyes, and I'm thinking, you know, woe is me, the world is so terrible, but I know we can fix it, and I still believe in the dream. Even right now, even at the, you know, even in my darkest hours, I still feel like that if we could actually just get past our egos and stop and pay attention to one another and start resolving issues, we could fix this world. I honestly believe that with everything.
Well, I believe it too, but I think that people are doing that, Shaziz. You see, we don't see a lot of things, and I just want to go back to this JFK Jr. Now, JFK Jr. was supposedly died in a plane crash with his family, his wife and daughter and so on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a tragedy and so on, but there's a political link here to this, and we're finding this out more and more now. Now, I am not saying this is factual, but there are certain things that have appeared that are actually very close to a wow moment of, wow, this is real, And we will find out, and I'll keep you up on this, I'll keep tuned into this, but it's very possible that information was given to JFK Jr., the people that were surrounding him, and that he, in fact, did not die in that plane crash. His wife didn't die, nor did his daughter. Now, there's interesting things coming about of this. I kind of first ignored it because I thought, JFK Jr. alive? You know, I'm not going to go there because I was involved in researching other things. But now, recently, the last week, I started looking at that, and I'm kind of blown away at some of this information coming out and these photographs of JFK when he was a younger man and the superimposed photographs of an older person in his 50s now, superimposed this photograph of JFK as a young man and this now this other photograph of a person that is becoming more prevalent in and out, you know, and being seen. It sure looks like it. I'm and even his wife. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, this is pretty extraordinary, and this goes deeper into the what John Kennedy, our president, said about the corruptness in the government that he was going to expose, and then they take him out. And that's also going to come out. Who was behind that? The 9/11, who was behind that? That's going to come out. There's going to be so many things that are hitting us left and right that are finally disclosing the truth of things. And also that we are not alone, by the way. And I've always known that. But now there's actually some government sources that are saying we are not alone. And that we have had a space connection all along that the public doesn't know about. I've also felt that. Yeah, we've been out there and we've been in connection. And there was a question by John F. Kennedy, our president, to certain people in the political arena. And his question was, this was just pretty much prior to when he was assassinated, why are these grays here? Now, the Greys are the ETs, and they're not such a good group of people, but Kennedy asked that. It was a quote. Okay, so, and then it's like, so now coming out of the government, some intelligent agencies are saying, no, we are not alone, and we've been in contact and in play in space. So they're far more advanced with things than we have been led to believe, and that's a given. I mean, I've kind of known that myself. I'm not the only one. But I just want to say that there are things happening in our timeline now that are pretty pretty extraordinary on both ends. The dark being exposed, the pedophiles being arrested, the sex trafficking, presidential... basically, his executive order immediately when he became president was put out, and you can Google that, and that's been in play and that's been in process where sex traffickers and pedophile rings have been being taken down across the board, not only here in this country but in the world, because it's got its tentacles everywhere. The exposure of the pedophilia system in our lives is pretty intense. So. Now, we have these things, and then we have the other side jockeying for position to hold people captive with the madness and the inciting their rage and inciting this divisiveness to pit us against each other and create, a system of violence. Very deeply concerning to me. But we have positives and negatives happening here, and we must be aware of that. And so this is where we are today, and we have to hold ourselves... in some kind of a conscious center and not be swayed, you know, and taken down that deep dark place of hopelessness and helplessness and saying everything's gone to pot. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Are you interested in some good things?
I'm always interested in good things. I just want to proceed with caution because, like I said, if you watch that doggone show, Jericho, where, you know, the good guys, the supposed good guys came in and was going to save the day, that you don't want to be I want to be cautious that this, you know, doesn't turn into be some sort of great deception, you know, with the today's way that media can be manipulated, and the way that you can actually see that the average Joe's minds can be.
I get it, but also looking at certain sources, you have to do your research, Shaziz, to know to find the source. That in fact you have to test that source over and over and over. You have to continually test the source, weigh and balance all the information that they are giving, and discern basically and come to the conclusion that yeah, this is a fact, this is real, this is true. It's not done easily. I don't do anything easily. I'm just saying. But I get what you're saying. You know, we do have to be alert and we do have to be careful. But so I just wanted to discuss some things here, because there's a few things I'm going to read here that some of them we might think are not essential, or some of them may be, but let's just talk about these things. Like, did you know that humans appear to be gaining about 3 points of IQ per decade, and nobody is exactly sure why?
Well, I don't know. You know, I kind of question my own IQ, because at one point I feel like I'm really highly intelligent, but to listen to the world, there's something really seriously wrong with me. You know?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, for example, I go out and I talk to people, right? Whether I be talking to them about science or anything, you know, and it seems like my mind, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to bring my language down to a lower level so that I can sit here and have a conversation with these people so they can understand what it is I'm saying. And to some extent, I'm thinking, well, am I insulting this person's intelligence or whatever? But look, when I'm sitting here talking to these people and I start explaining things to them, it's almost like they go into like a seizure mode where they don't understand what I'm saying, and I just went way over their mind level or something, and it just the conversation, I can tell exactly the point where I lost their attention, because either they're not interested or they just don't understand what I'm saying, or I feel like imagine an alien talking to an ant. That ant has no idea what that alien's saying.
I hear you.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, the point is, this is a working hypothesis, okay? So a working hypothesis studies worldwide, okay? So you're talking to a small percentage of people. That's what this is, you see.
Yeah.
Sometimes it has nothing to do with your IQ, it has something to do with people's attention abilities, you know, or people's ability to pay attention.
Could it be possible that I could be wrong about everything that I believe or perceive? Or you see what I'm saying? It brings you to the point where you're doubting your own sanity, you're doubting your own wisdom or knowledge or whatever, and that's where I find it to be.
Because people don't understand you has nothing to do with what you believe in and what you have as a scientist or scientific-minded person, what you have studied and what you have tested over and over and over and over again to conclude basically your hypothesis about this situation. It's got nothing to do with you. You're talking to a very small percentage of a greater percentage of people. And this particular note here is from called the Flynn Effect. That humans appear to be gaining about 3 points of IQ per decade, and nobody knows really why. Regardless of whatever you think of IQ measures, we're getting better and better at it globally. Okay, so I'm just putting stuff out here to see, you know, get response or a positivity on this. I mean, for me, neither here nor there about your IQ, you know, because I always thought that I was stupid because I was told I was stupid, but I'm not. I'm brilliant. And I don't care whether you believe it or not. I don't care whether you believe what I'm saying.
I think you could actually attribute some of this IQ raising to this actual technology that we're using, whether it be cell phones or internet, because we're able to connect with other people all over the world and be able to gather up more information, which is stimulating our brain. And sometimes you watch people as they're using these high-tech phones, They don't have to use any effort. They can just swipe through these things and do all kinds of tasks on there. And so if you look at it like, you know, an artificial intelligence starting to, remember and recognize and understand everything. And, you know, it's like the internet itself is a vast amount of knowledge. And prior to that, we just had what we talked to each
That's
other
true.
And what we were willing to study, you know, in school or whatever. But now, we're being bombarded with all kinds of information. If something goes contrary to what you believed in to begin with, you get on the internet and you Google it up, and the Google tells you what the truth is or what its perception of the truth is or whatever. And so I think that is actually exercising the average Joe's brain more than what they think. But the problem that I'm seeing with that is the quality of the information, not the quantity. The quantity is great. There's tons of information, but the quality of the information. It's like truth is subject to the honesty of the teller. Whoever's telling the story that you're basing your opinion on is the reason why you see people acting, like you said earlier, with their monkey mind instead of with their real human mind. You see what I'm trying
to
say?
Because critical thinking, you see, because critical thinking has gone down the tubes.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have to be aware and alert to that very thing that I just said, that's factual, critical thinking. Now, why has critical thinking gone down the tubes? Now we have to look at that. Okay, if you observe something going on in the world where people are not using their critical thinking, where instead they're reactive and they're emotional are being ramped up, why is that happening? So you have to look at that aspect of it and then come to conclusion about, okay, why is critical thinking gone down the tubes? You know, because people's emotions and reactions are heightened, and, you know, and this is where we are today. People are deliberately being pushed to be emotional, to be reactive, to be, you know, like mobs. So this is part of what we're dealing with today. It doesn't mean anything that people don't have an IQ. It means their emotions are being activated and their critical thinking goes down the tubes when that's becomes a personal thing. So I see a lot of women, and I'm not saying it's all, I'm just saying a lot of women, because of their enraged history, women have a right to be enraged about being, you know, basically, you know, duct taped mouths and not listened to and various other things as we know. And not believed in. I get that, okay? But now what's happening is they have an opportunity, it's been put in their face, where they can hang a man because a woman has accused him. Regardless of whether there's any proof, they just want to hang a man. And they're basically saying this man, they didn't like his demeanor. They didn't like the way he was angry. They didn't like the way he sat. They didn't like the way his face showed expression of emotion. They didn't like the fact that he cried. Or was hiding, trying to hold back his tears when he's talking about this being attacked and his family getting death threats and him being accused of being a rapist and a drunkard and an alcoholic and a violator.
Yep.
And this man was emotional. They didn't like the fact that he was emotional.
But I want to point something out. The puppet masters or the controllers behind the scenes right there realize the true power of the people, and so they know how to manipulate people's minds to get them to act ridiculous like we've been seeing. These folks on both sides of the fence, you could say, because this is a big old fight for power, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or whatever, all these different agendas behind the scenes, they have dedicated years to research on how to get the average people to either go out and riot or to push their buttons. So with that said, in one sense, the system wants a hive mind mentality, but they want the control of that hive mind mentality. It's not like if we the people decide we want a hive mind mentality, but we want it on our terms where we, you know, share information and we work together. That's not what the system wants. They don't want us working together. It's just kind of like that Bug's Life thing, where the grasshopper's telling the other grasshopper that, you know, these ants outnumber us 100 to 1, and when they realize that, our way of life is over. Well, the controllers of this world know that the power lies in the hands of the people, and so if you can get all these women upset even if they don't even understand why they're upset, if you can get them upset because maybe they had been violated, and you can bring them down to bear against the person that you don't want as a Supreme Court justice because he's on a different side of the fence than your ideological view, they can manipulate that crowd to go out and do exactly what we're seeing. And it's a dangerous thing. But how do you get that same crowd to realize that they have been manipulated by the system? You know, I get it. What they're protesting against, yeah, you know, doing things wrong to people, you know, violating women and rape, that's wrong. And I would stand with those women to fight against the same cause. But for the reason why that they're up saying what they're saying and they're accusing a man with no evidence, that is a dangerous thing, because in this country we are supposedly innocent until proven guilty. If somebody lays a charge down on you, they have to bring their evidence. You are guaranteed a jury of your peers with an open mind to sit there and listen to the facts and do that. But that's not what we're seeing. The mainstream media has quite literally come out against this man and had him guilty before there was ever even a trial. And then they turned around and said that this isn't a trial. This is a job interview. No, it was a trial. It was a trial before a jury of his peers, which are the American people out there. So they were basically sinking this man, destroying his life, and the mainstream media was sitting there getting all these women riled up about all this. Well, you know, you don't want a sex offender on the Supreme Court. And of course they don't. If they've been violated in any form or fashion in their life, of course they don't. But that is what the tool has been all along for the guys like George Soros, who go out and destabilize nations, to the mainstream media, who may very well be CIA controlled, that want to guide the masses to their side of the fence because they got a different agenda than what the other side of the fence is. So they're going to tug on the heartstrings. They're going to tug on the minds. They're going to manipulate as much as possible to get these people to do exactly what they've been doing. That's what I've been saying. When these people go out there and they burn down their own communities, the government don't care. The mainstream media don't care. You're not furthering your cause. All you're doing is making your life more miserable. You're taking jobs out of your community. You're destroying your community. And it was all by design, because every time you do what they have suckered you into doing, you tear down your community. Everybody makes money. The insurance companies pay the business owners, who then in turn move out of your deal. The mainstream media gets higher ratings, and advertisers pay them money. The government gets money, because every time they imprison you, our prison system now is privately owned industry, and they make money by keeping people in prison, and they get government subsidies for doing so, all under the guise of your protection and safety. So that's what correct. You're doing is playing right into it.
You're right. You're out. Everything you just said, you're absolutely right. And I do want to say that you can do your own research about the mainstream media, and you can see clearly how it is psychological warfare. I mean, even the advertising system, it's psychological. It's psychological, you know, imprinting, psychological warfare that they're pulling on everybody, and people just sit there and fall for it and are manipulated and mind controlled. And this is the case where we are today. But more and more people are waking up to that fact, you see, because more and more people, thanks to the web and the research that you can do if you're interested in finding the truth, you know, you can make a determination about whether you want to be manipulated by the mainstream media, politics, or people in authority or whatever. You know, that's up to you. And the point is, people are more and more waking up. So here's another one. This is, life expectancy is growing both globally and within the United States to an all-time high. So that's another one, good news.
Well, yeah, I've that's one of the things that really bothers me a lot, because when we start talking about alternative medicines and we look into the actual science of diseases and stuff like that, there are proven cures for just about everything that you can possibly imagine out there. When people come out with the dang information saying that that 90% of all the diseases out there are related to oxygen deficiency in any given place, and then you understand how your body is quite literally a chemistry set, and that chemistry has to be in balance in order for natural, you know, processes to occur, and you're healthy and all that kind of stuff, and even to the extent of aging faster, you can see a difference in how people age who are on different types of drugs as opposed to people who are on, you know, health foods or whatever. Go over and look in at the Japanese culture. They're amazing. I mean, their diet is, you know, like fish and rice, and they seem to live to be pretty, you know, decent ages. You know, outside of whatever other flaws that their society might have, there's something to be learned from, you know, every single culture out there, including like Amish communities who live more of a natural life, and they're not surrounded by Wi-Fi and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, all this research is out there. It's all available.
And well, also remember, this is globally, and this particular link that I am at is basically people who have pulled together facts for good news because they were asked to present, you know, some more uplifting and good news. That's why I found the site, because of the way we started out the show.
Well, I'm wanting to see that people actually get out there and they look into things. Like you constantly say, and Patty's always saying, and you know, I'm even saying, and even Barry's even saying, that the biggest key that we've been pointing out to everybody is do your own research. It might take you a little bit of effort where you get on there and you start looking and reading and actually studying up a few things. But before you go volunteering to get inside of a machine and get radiated and destroy your immune system, at least look into alternative medicines. At that stage in the game, if you've already been diagnosed with a specific ailment, what's the harm in looking in, you know, hyperbaric oxygen treatment, or, you know, even hemp oil, or any of these other things that you've heard about, you know, randomly here and there on other radio networks, and this one is as far as that goes. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about medicine, politics, or religion, or any other subject under the sun. There are solutions out there available for every single problem that exists under the sun. Some people are implementing them. Some people are actually seeing results. And those testimonies need to come forward so that other people can hear it. You know, that's what I keep saying when you're leading by example. You know, I didn't go out there and tell everybody about hemp seed oil until I tried it on myself. And it worked for me, you know. And so if it worked for me, it may not work for you. I don't know. Your chemistry might be different. But it did work for me. And so I can speak on that honestly. And I'm not telling you something, you know, like I never tried the bacon soda deal. I've never been diagnosed with cancer or anything. You know, I had suspicions that I had problems going on. And so I looked in all these alternative medicines, and when I read up on hemp seed oil and its benefits, I tried it out for myself, and it worked. And so that's how the whole research, the testing, the scientific method is supposedly done. We have every single piece of the puzzle in order to resolve all the problems. The biggest issue that we've got right now is trying to figure out a way to get an understanding in people's mind not to allow themselves to be manipulated by a system that does not have your best interest at heart. That's the simple of it. If you think that the government out there is for you, then you haven't really paid attention. If you think, for example, in the law enforcement, go ask the law enforcement officer, is it your job to protect me? You might get every so often, you might get one to say, yeah. But according to what they teach in the police academy, you're not there for somebody's personal protection. You are there as the executive branch of government that is there to enforce the law, period. You're not there as somebody's, it's up to each individual for their own self-defense. Now, if you're there, you witness a crime, you intervene, you protect that person, that's that, you know, but you're enforcing the law in that process. But it's not your job as a police officer to go out there and defend people. It is your job to go out there and enforce the law. That's the executive branch of government. The judicial branch of government is set out there to interpret the law. The legislative branch of government is set out there to write the law. That is the three separation of powers here in the United States. And those lines are getting blurred by these agendas that people believe because of what they've been told by the instigators behind the scene, like George Soros and all that, that it's like a certain judge gets on there, well, he's going to make it so you can't have an abortion anymore. Whether you're pro-life or against or whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are literally being manipulated to act in a certain fashion that is going to help further their agenda. Like the whole entire thing that everybody keeps worrying about, how they're going to declare martial law and you're going to be, you know, have military on your streets and you're not going to be able to leave your home. You're going to have a curfew and all this kind of stuff and things are going to change. How do you think we're going to get there? We're going to get there when we get to a state where the average citizen, not the government, where the average citizen is out there in the streets protesting, rioting, burning down their own communities, doing all these terrible things, and then under the guise of problem action solution, the government's going to rush in there like the White Knight, and they're going to save the day by putting everybody under martial law to make it all fair, and then they're going to put all these things in control, and then suddenly you got right before your very eyes the one world government that you were so feared of. You're going to bring it upon yourself. It is a self-fulfilled prophecy of even biblical proportions of what the people can do to themselves by not understanding that you're being manipulated from the get-go. So when you call the law on your neighbor because his grass is too high, and then they have to write another rule or another law, you're just depleting your own freedoms because of what is the lawful or unlawful for that person is straight across the board in the government's eyes. And the executive branch of government's not going to look at you because you're a different color. They're going to enforce the law just like they will on your neighbor that you called the grass about being too high. Now your grass is too high. Now you're on the hot seat. That's the way it works. What do you think?
I agree with you. I agree that the people don't get it, that they are being manipulated to perform these various acts that will basically call upon them their worst nightmare.
Yeah.
They think we have the right to free speech. We have the right to protest. We have the right to gather. We have all these rights. But if we aren't careful, we will create the nightmare for ourselves where we won't be allowed free speech.
I have a right to keep and bear arms, but if I go out and abuse that right by shooting my gun up and raising a ruckus, I lose my right. I end up in jail.
Well, you have a lot of manipulations going on around that amendment, and the Democrats want to eliminate our right to bear arms. I'm not for, AK-47 Uzis. We don't need tanks. We don't need, bomb throwers. No, well, we do have our right to bear arms against tyranny.
Yep.
Tyranny from our own government.
That's the whole thing. You have to have faith that the people that you elect are going to be the people that you can trust with your life. Because, for example, I live out in the country. Alright, now, I know that if somebody breaks in my house, it might take 45 minutes before somebody can get here to defend me. If I have no right to defend myself, then I'm at the mercy of the government. What if I can't trust the government? What if this particular sheriff that's in my county, he had something against me, he didn't like me, I'm not going to his house. He's on his own. So I'm over here getting my family attacked, and there ain't nothing I can do about it. So if these people who want the, complete gun ban, let's just go to the extreme portion, right? We're talking complete gun ban, the abolishment of the Second Amendment. If they actually get what they want, and then they expect that the government is going to get there in time to save the day, how do you think that's going to work out? will they be happy when they finally get what it is that they want? And this goes straight across the board to even the words that are coming out of your mouth. If you don't have the right to speak, if you're always being censored, and you finally get it set up because you don't want everybody else to be able to say certain things, you make it against the law for people to have freedom of speech. Now,
we are the deplorables because we have a right to vote the way we want.
Yeah.
And because we didn't vote the way someone else wanted us to, we are called deplorables.
Yeah.
We are called murderers because we believe in our right to bear arms.
Well, you have to be able to respect somebody else's rights in order to be able to preserve your own rights, right? I mean,
there's a reason why we have a constitution. Okay, there's a reason why there were certain things written into that constitution. Okay, and this is what we must abide by. But now people want to change the constitution. Our free will, basically, our right to come together, our right to protest, our right to free speech, our right to bear arms. Okay, these are reasons why, and the way they were written into the Constitution, and basically based on government tyranny, our right to protect ourselves. So you have this faction here who wants to eliminate our rights and the Constitution, rewrite the Constitution, therefore they set up false flags where people are murdering each other, and you have these school shootings. And now everybody gets on the bandwagon if we have to eliminate the guns, because if you people are the murderers, if you don't want to eliminate guns, you all are complicit then with that murderer.
Yep.
This is insanity, but this is where it's gone. And so of course I don't want school shootings, but there's a lot of manipulation. There's also history with those school shooters, and every one of them have been on pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah, well, not to mention there are things in history, whether history's true or not, there's still things in the books that say that these certain events were occurring at certain times when big giant atrocities were to follow once everybody was disarmed. You think about this.
Well, the history in the world shows us that when a country takes the people's rights to self-protection.
That's right. You tell the entire kingdom that it's, you no longer can have a sword. Pile all your swords up in the square. You can't have a sword anymore because we're tired of people stabbing each other. And so everybody piles up the sword. Well, then the enemy on the other side of the fence says, look, they ain't got no weapons. So how's it going to play out?
Well, you know, the good people will follow suit. The good people will hand in their carving knives and their swords and their spears and their guns and their hatchets, and the good people will line up to do that.
Yeah.
The people who are murderers, the people who are lawless, they will not step forward and hand in their machete.
No.
You will not. They're not going to. So basically you're shooting yourself in the foot with your own gun.
Yeah.
And critical thinking again is out the window. It's again rioting people up to be emotional. Of course, I don't want to see school shootings, but you people have to really realize that there's false flags, there's manipulation going on here from a system, a deep state that wants to own you, rule you, take away all of your rights, period, change the Constitution to how they want it, and set up Agenda 21, Agenda 30, and World War I war government.
Well, the one that said an armed society is a polite society, I believe they got it right, because if you ain't got no idea who's packing heat, then you might not want to be messing with people. That's pretty much.
Well, you know, there are stories about people who go into schools in Japan, for instance. This person went into a school with a big knife and killed children. So should we take all the carving knives away? Should we take our cutlery away? Should we take our hatchets that we cut? I mean,
well, don't forget pencils, because you can get lead poisoning. I'm telling you. Look, that's why I'm saying nothing seems to make any sense, because if we could all sit down like we're kind of doing right now, I wish there was a way that we could get a mass gathering of people and sit down like we're doing right now and respectfully discuss all these things that we're talking about without all the emotion. Because I understand when people have a strong belief in something, they get emotional about it. And then whenever you question that belief, they're not going to want to hear anything other than what they believe in. The moment you test that belief system that they got, that's when they get angry. And when they
you can even give them rational information. You can lay it all out. You can lay clearly things out that are proven to be true, and they cannot, they can't see it.
That's it. When you get to that point where they have no justification for why it is that they have the stance, or they don't have any rational explanation or evidence to back up why they feel the way that they feel, they jump right straight from that to attack, because that's all they lash out at you. Oh, well, you're just crazy if you don't believe your government, or you're just crazy if you don't believe the earth is round or flat or whatever. I'm just saying.
Well, you're outright wrong, because I'm right.
Well, say, there you go.
That's it, period. You're wrong, I'm right. And if you don't agree with me, you're crazy. If you don't agree with me, you don't know what you're talking about. You're insane. It's the name-calling. It's the level where people have got down to, where I said it's emotional, it's reactionary, it's divisiveness, it's hate. It's pushing all these things upon us people. And we have to really identify that what's happening to us, how our emotions are being manipulated and used against us. And this is where we are today,
I'm telling everybody, I don't know whether I'm wrong or right. I'm telling everybody that we got to find this out together. Like if I talk about something scientific, we can test it, we can repeat it, we can all try and see whether or not it works out. And that's with everything else out there. You got to test the information that's being given to you. You got to trust but verify, that kind of thing. If I'm sitting there and I have a track record of lying to you and stealing from you and propagandizing, I don't expect you to trust me anymore. And I expect that if I ever decide I want you to trust me again, that I am obligated to earn that trust by showing, that I can do the right thing when it's supposed to be, or say what's right, not what I believe. I mean, I believe a lot of stuff. I believe there's a God. I believe, I got my Christian faith. Well, that's a negative against me, because what other people have been told about, the Christian faith or whatever, So I'm not here to push my view on you. I'm just telling you that's right at this point in the game, that, I still keep my faith in God, and I still keep my faith in humanity, that if we was to come together, that we could actually resolve all these problems. Because as I'm stepping back, I'm standing outside the box, I'm looking at the overall grand scheme of things, the big picture, I'm seeing all these things. Scientifically, they said this works that way, that works that way, and I've tested, I've repeated it, it looks like it works, it to me, it's verified. And so if I share that information with you, it's because I did the research on it. And then whenever, we have a problem that said, we need to fix this particular deal, I can look in my toolbox and I'll say, look, this is what they said, you can make a battery out of a penny and a nickel and a lemon. And this is how it works, because the acid in the battery produces, an electrical charge with these two dissimilar type metals. It's something that you can try yourself and it works. This is what I'm talking about. When everything's flipped upside down and it doesn't make any sense, whenever the basic science or the basic truth of anything is turned and twisted for political gain or financial or any agenda for that matter, the whole world suffers. Everybody out there is suffering for something, for some reason, because of things that governments or companies or even average Joes don't want you to have or know, or the knowledge is only for the one that has the fancy white coat or the big fancy plaque with the paper that says that they're smarter than you. Stop looking for the geniuses of the world and look inside yourself to find the solutions that you've been looking for. My grandfather used to have this phrase, and sometimes I used to think about it, and it kind of aggravated me a little bit, but Grandpa used to say, if you want something done right, get up and do it yourself. Because if you're going to rely on everybody else out there, maybe that next guy Maybe he ain't as bright as you. Maybe he doesn't have the talent as you. I don't know. Whatever, for whatever reason, if you're expecting somebody else to make your life better, your life, it belongs to you. You're in charge of your own destiny, because with your free will, you get to choose what you decide to do, what you decide to believe. And you got to get that down to people. But people want to force their life onto you. And in order to do that, they gather up other like minds and they get out there, they protest everybody, they want you to see it their way, and if you don't see it their way, they're not happy about it, and they resort to violence or insults or whatever. The elitists of the world understand the human condition. They understand the human heart, they understand the human mind to the extent where they can actually use you as a tool to get their job done, what they want to accomplish. They want to stay rich. They don't want you to know about alternative energy. They don't want you to know that we're surrounded in the sea of it. They don't want you to know that there's cures in your backyard. They don't want you to know these things because they want to sell you their cure. Their medicine. They want to sell you what they want to sell you, because they need that money in order to be the kings and queens, and they're your rulers. That's it. It's as simple as that. And there's a lot of people out here. There's supposedly 9 billion people, or some say 7 billion, some say 9 billion. I don't even know the exact number. How could I know? But either way, there's supposed to be 7 to 9 billion people on the planet. The global elitists are a tiny fraction of that. And yet they have the power because they use you as their army. It's not the global elitists that are out there in Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran or Syria or any of the other conflicts going on out there in this world. It's not the congressmen. It's not the senators. It's you. It's your children. It's the patriot. It's the people. The people are out there doing the bidding of the money masters of the world. That's how it works. Because when you are out there hurting each other, they are profiting. They are making money. Go watch the video, Lords of War. He didn't care who he sold it to. As long as there was a war, he was making money. He sold to both sides of the fence. That's the way it works, people. And you gotta take that in your mind, and you gotta let that absorb in, because if you don't mind being manipulated, then you will just continue to do what it is you do until you delete your own freedom, and until you bring about your own hell on earth. It happens in your family, it happens in your communities. When you think that you've been done wrong, you'll treat your family poorly. But if you step back and look at the other side of, you know, the other person's perspective of what they might be visualizing at that given time, you might find out that it's just a big misunderstanding all along, and that you yourself might have been part of the problem. Now, granted, there are people and things out of your control that do things to you that, you know, justice needs to be served. But you got to wield that sword of justice with wisdom, because there's a saying back there, if you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword. And that's one of the things that the human hasn't figured out yet. If you go out there and you think the way that you're going to get your reward or your justice is going out there by perpetrating violence or destroying somebody's life with your words, then you got to understand that eventually that's going to come right back around to you. That you could be destroyed by somebody else's words. The word hypocrisy is the word that you're going to have to look for whenever you're out there doing one thing, saying one thing about somebody else, but you're living that lifestyle. You know, and then next thing you know, look at this hypocrite over here. He says that, you know, drinking's bad, and I saw him down at the bar last weekend. We gotta be wiser than that. We gotta understand that the industries that give us our entertainment, our bread and circus, they manipulate us. They make us think we have to have certain brands of clothes. They make us think we have to have certain types of foods. They make us think that we have to look a certain type of way. And you're always saying, it's that big money machine that we can't stand because it's stealing from people. It's making babies build tennis shoes over in Korea, you know? And, you know, human rights abuses and all that. But you're still buying it. You're still going to Walmart. You're still going to Kmart. And then your only justification is, well, I gotta have a pair of shoes. I can't get them anywhere else. Well, there's knowledge out there where you can learn how to build your own pair of shoes if you really want to, you know, fight against a system that is abusing people. You know, so in my mind, it's common sense. And I do practice what I preach. I'm not always one to take my own advice because, as you heard from when I started this show this morning, I'm like in the dumps. But after listening to the wisdom of what Barbara's explained to you and after contemplating on everything and seeing, you know, we still have options. Even when we think that all hope is lost, we still have options. And we've always had options. Go ahead.
I'm going to step in here because despite all the doom and gloom, I'm going in this direction. In reality, there are a whole bunch of incredible people doing really good things around the world right now. And, you know, it's true because sometimes they just don't get as much press as they deserve because, as we know, the mainstream media, you know, doesn't want good things. Well, just wants to push doom and gloom. I've noticed that. If you haven't noticed that.
It's ratings. They make money.
Well, they make money, and it's like a Jerry Springer show instead of real journalism. But so anyway, a much-needed reminder that not everything is ruined. And here are some of the awesome things happening in the world right now that you can talk about over dinner tonight instead of global tensions and nuclear weapons. Now, this is amazing to me. Did you know that young gorillas have learned to dismantle poacher traps?
Cool.
So, days after a poacher's trap killed a young mountain gorilla in Rwanda's Volcanoes National Park in 2012, researchers spotted something remarkable. 2 4-year-old gorillas working together to dismantle similar snares in the area. It's the ultimate feel-good story.
Wow.
This is absolutely the first time that we've seen juveniles doing this. I don't know of any other reports in the world of these juveniles destroying snares. This is from Diane Fossey's, Veronica Vasillo, who works for Diane Fossey's Gorilla Funds in Rwanda. She told National Geographic about these juvenile gorillas dismantling snares that they noted killed one of their own. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is. That's an amazing story. And that's just a tiny fraction of an example of what, even in nature, that we could accomplish. Just think about that. I mean, that's amazing.
I mean, that's the intelligence of nature, you see, that people don't believe in or that they doubt. Or that we're told basically doesn't exist is nature. It does have an intelligence.
Animals saving each other, animals saving people, people saving animals. Those stories are out there.
It's amazing.
All over the place.
I saw this video of this man who saved this a grizzly bear's cub from drowning up there somewhere in the Yukon. The mother went across and he observed that, and he observed the baby floundering and going to be drowning, and he got in the water and saved that baby. Do you know that that mama grizzly bear came into that water, and she stood up in front of him and wrapped her arms around him?
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
That's cool. That's cool.
And we see these kinds of things of nature responding. Nature has an intelligence and a connectedness to us if we allow it, you know. They're very aware of energy. They know those that will do harm, and they know someone who has goodness in their heart and a different energy. You know, I've seen this man who's called the Deer Whisperer. He had a deer on his property. He lived there for many years, and he used to watch this herd, and the mama came through with with two, I guess, twin fawns, and one was incapacitated, couldn't walk very well. And, you know, they couldn't keep up, and the mama, of course, has to go on with the one that could make it, and, that little other one there was left behind, and so he nurtured that little fawn, healed the leg, nurtured the fawn so it could basically walk again and take care of itself, and I guess the following season the mama came back through and recognized her baby, and they went on their way, but they came back periodically through his land, and that little fawn remembered him and walked right up to him. That's and then the mama came, and all the other the herd of those deer would come and feel comfortable around him, and they'd all be laying around together in the field, and the little fawn now, which was a yearling now, would just snuggle up with him. And that's the connectedness that we can have if we allow ourselves really to be a human and reach out and loving and caring, compassionate, you know. So I'm just saying, there's, yes, you're right, animals saving other animals or animals of another species taking care of, you know, one that would have been their food, or taking care of it or protecting it. I mean, I think the animals, I've always known this is our way of thinking, and the tradition is that the animals are our teachers, that nature is our teacher.
Yeah, in the chat room, A93846 said, see, that shows how much more magnificent nature is. These people like to pretend that they themselves aren't nature, so they miss the whole understanding of how intelligent nature is. And I agree, you know, because we step over miracles all day long. We don't recognize that, you know, we're surrounded in miracles. We're walking miracles ourselves. The fact that we've got from point A to point B without, you know, destroying us.
the mere fact of life, creation, birth, is a miracle. But I feel that the part of this story about the creatures and nature being our teachers, that was the original way. That was what I call the oneness, or oneness with Creator's creation. Our awareness, our connectedness, our communication through the mother tongue of being able to communicate with the creatures. They were our teachers, as nature is our teacher. And we've been, you know, incrementally separated from our fundamental nature, which is one with nature, we are stewards, or originally meant to be the stewards of these creatures and of nature. And we have incrementally been shifted away from that deliberately so that we can destroy nature. It doesn't matter to people if you cut the forest down. We need whatever. We need this. We need that. Oh, we need energy, therefore let's cut the forest down. And there's free energy, you don't have to cut the forest down.
With that said, do you believe in tough love?
Well, on some levels, I do.
Well, you know, the reason why I asked that was because as I'm listening to you talking about it, I think, you know, if I give a child a toy, and that child destroys the toy, is it my fault because that child destroyed that toy?
You know, well, so what would your solution be? I mean, there's got to be incremental. Here we are. We're supposed to be guiding our children, not punishing and beating up our children or destroying them. But if a child destroys the toy that you went out and paid money for, so he's showing disrespect for something. So it depends on the age of that child, okay? Because, you know, that's another thing. Now, if you have a teenager that you gave a car to, your hard-earned money, and, you know, you gave a car to, and you gave them guidelines, okay, be respectful of this and treat it right and blah, 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 be careful, and he's just a careless, reckless teenager, then you got to go tough love, okay? That's the end of your car. Sorry. You know,
well,
here's a bike.
My thing is that, you know, I would say, you know, look, this is your car. You smashed it up. You didn't take care of it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you how to fix it. It's as simple as that. So, you know.
Well, you can do that. Now, that's not tough love, but that's a beautiful thing.
I didn't say I was going to fix it for them. I said, I'm going to teach them.
Yeah,
how to
I get
fix
you.
It.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
There has been tough love examples where a child has gotten themselves involved in drugs and gone downhill, or alcoholism, and their parents are trying every which way to help their own child, and the child is just not available for that, and just keeps getting into trouble, keeps getting arrested, and so on. To me, the tough love in that moment was after you do everything in your power to help the child, you come to a point where you say, I cannot enable my child anymore because I'm just not helping him. The tough love comes in when you say the child gets arrested, calls you on the phone and said, Mom or Dad, I need you to bail me out. I got in trouble. I say, sorry, you're on your own. That's tough love.
Yeah, I get it. So I'm thinking, when I look out at this world out here, I believe that the creator of this world built this world to be so amazing, so self-contained. It's self-recycling. This world, if you actually take a look at the mechanics of it, is mind-blowing. Now, we could literally poison everything around it, and we would kill each other off. We'd all be dead, you know, because we couldn't breathe. We didn't have no food or anything like that. But if what the evolutionists say, and what science and all they'll try to tell you about, is that this world has the chemistry necessary to, long after mankind's been gone, there's actually a series out there that says 500 years after man. It looks like we never were here. Because everything is deteriorated, everything goes back into the system, and nature repairs itself as if we were never even present.
So exactly.
That tells me that if I'm the creator and I created all these beings and I put them down here and I give them all these blessings and I left them up to their own devices, to have their own free will, they could either destroy themselves and make a hell on earth, or they could actually work together and to create a heaven on earth, or utopia, so to speak.
Well, we were given that free will to either choose to do that or not, and to me, I feel like we're Creator's children. We're all children of the Great Spirit, Creator, Mother, Father, and we were put down here to basically learn and to be taught by the nature, by the mother, by the creatures, as our teachers, how to live in harmony and balance with all this gift. Everything we ever needed was here for us. Every medicine we ever needed was here. Clean water. Everything we ever needed, and that's the way the original people lived, in respect and harmony. They never took more than was needed. They never, you know, shot a whole bunch of animals just because they had a gun and they wanted to just see how the gun worked, or just to get a photograph of themselves with a beautiful creature, an innocent creature who doesn't have a gun to defend itself. So we're down here making a mess of things, some of us, and I think the Creator, sometimes I feel really apologetic. I say, I apologize with tears in my eyes, because sometimes to me, I'm just so in awe of the beauty of this Mother Earth and creation. I just feel like, wow, I apologize to you, Great Spirit, because we're just destroying your beautiful creation, and how unruly and irresponsible we children are. You gave us this, you know, you created this for us to live in abundance and health and well-being. And I feel in my heart, I just apologize to the Great Spirit for what we're doing, you know. And I think we punish ourselves. I don't believe in a punishing Creator, Great Spirit. I believe that we take we take it into our hands whether punish ourselves or not by the way we treat ourselves and others, and the way we treat the Mother Earth and all of life. We're punishing ourselves.
Yep.
I think it's enough punishment that we're doing to ourselves. I don't think God is a punisher.
There's a comment in the section of A93829. We'll get them on a show one of these days. Pretty insightful. The simple fact of existence is a miracle. The chances of existing is probably incredibly small. It's inconceivable. This truly is a miracle. We need to stop thinking this life is all normal, like this happened all the time, and start appreciating the chance to be alive and respect it.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Yeah.
I'm just saying to myself, when I say that nothing makes any sense out here, it's because as I'm looking out there and I'm watching all this stuff going on, and I'm saying we got all these options available, and to have an understanding of how nature has provided everything needed. I mean, talking about cures, I'm talking about resources. If resources and everything was used, respectfully. I saw this video a long time ago, and it to some extent, it's just like so cool. It's just incredibly unbelievable. But there was this this planet. I don't know what planet it was or what place or realm or whatever, but there was this group of people, and they were all huddled out there in nature, and everything was all beautiful around them. And they were all asking each other, what do you need? You know, and somebody needed some water, so they gave them some water. Somebody needed some food, so they gave them some food. And they're just helping each other and sharing each other. Now, it wasn't like a whole bunch of technology involved in everything. It was just people doing for people out there, you know, taking care of everybody and respecting each other. It was like, you know, basically it would be a modern Garden of Eden type scenario where, you know, there's no sadness, no sickness. Everybody, even from the young all the way to the elderly, were being cared for. Now, in this day and age, it's kind of hard to visualize that because it seems so, you know, unachievable, if you understand what I'm saying. But I honestly believe that if we ever really seriously was forced into a position to where we had to take care of each other, we didn't have a choice. It's either we all take care of each other or the human race finally gets old and the last man or woman dies, and that's that. We're done. The human story is over. I don't ever want to see the human story be over, because I think that humans are an amazing, I would even go to say to the extent is a divine creation, because of the magnificence of what we could actually do. Just with the words coming out of your mouth, the power that you have by formulating the words that are respectful and truthful and honest and loving, and sending that message, that waveform or whatever you want to call it, out there to people. You can uplift somebody's spirit. You can bring their spirits up to the highest reaches of heaven. Or you can take that same voice and change the tone and the frequency of it, and you can bring somebody down to the lowest, darkest abyss. That's how powerful you are, just with the words coming out of your mouth. Imagine what you could do, not just with the words, but with your hands and, you know, everything that you're capable of doing as a human being. You could decide to make somebody's life better. You know,
it's amazing the ability that we do have. We are either making everyone's life better or not, because we are connected to everyone. We have more power than we really understand. The ability, again, about our frequencies, our emotions, our words, our thoughts, how the power that they have. Words are powerful. I mean, we can destroy someone with our words. You know, you can do harm to a child. Destroy that, crush that child's spirit with words, you know. This is the power that we have. But I want to note here that Lisa Allcaps in the People for People chat just wrote something very interesting. She says in university in mid-80s, she learned that even though they lectured about critical thinking, that if you used critical thinking in class, you were not rewarded. And she came to conclude that they only wanted us to parrot what they said. And once she realized that, her grades improved.
Yeah.
So yeah. Once she became the puppet, she was rewarded.
Memorize the book. If you memorize the book, you can become a professor too. That's it. You know, it's not about what your critical thinking or what you think outside the box or your creativity. You memorize what the system says. You will get really good grades, and you too can become a professor. Now,
line up, pay a lot of money for that little paper that you put it in a black frame and hang it on the wall that gives you the authority to say that you are an authority and you have all the answers. And anyone who questions that, who doesn't have a paper, who doesn't have a degree, well, they're just a conspiracy nutcase, or they're useless, or they have no rights to give their opinion.
Or a pseudo-scientist.
Pseudo-scientist or wackadoodler or whatever it is. You don't have that paper. I'm sorry. You're not the authority. But everyone, when you're an authority and you go to pay a lot of money for that paper that gives you the right and the authority above others, you are not using your critical thinking. You are going by the book. You are basically repeating by rote what you were told, what the book says, this is how you deal with this, that, and so on. And this even goes into psychological or psychiatry. it's by the book. It's got nothing to do with heart, spirit, or intuitiveness, or connectedness with that person. You must go by the book. You have to go by the book. And the book is written by the conquerors. The book and the laws are written by those who want to manipulate people, eliminate their critical thinking, eliminate the compassion and connectedness of our humanness. You know, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with today. Yeah, Lisa says her piece of paper is in a box somewhere. As I say, my BS is BS. Oh. I'm glad it's in a box, you know. That's a good thing, because I think you may have found yourself, I say, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you found your true nature, which is a heart connectedness and a common sense and critical thinking. And, you know, I don't know too much about nuclear fusion, but I'm going to continue with this. Everything is weird right now, but here's some really good stuff that's happening. Awesome people are doing things, and maybe you have a response to this, but nuclear fusion could be the key to producing almost unlimited energy with few byproducts other than salt water. But researchers have long struggled to create a machine that could sustainably control such a powerful reaction. But that's now changing. In 2015, Germany switched on a massive nuclear fusion reactor that's since successfully been able to contain a scorching hot blob of hydrogen plasma. They're not the only ones. South Korea and China both achieving record-breaking reactions in their own fusion machines. The UK has switched on a revolutionary type of reactor that is now sustainably generating plasma with its core. In fact, MIT scientists predict that thanks to all these new advances, we should be able to get fusion energy on the grid by 2030.
So my question to in response to that is, why is it when a so-called pseudoscientist such as myself advocate for the use of using not hydrogen to produce plasma, but any of the inert or noble gases that aren't explosive or implosive, that would do the same exact job? And it all boils down to generating heat. Heat is a byproduct of every energy use that we got out there. Heat is a problem when it comes to your car, when it comes to your electronics, electrical appliances. Heat is what destroys it. But if you can understand science, just the basic science of it, you can take electricity to produce heat. You can take heat to produce electricity. And if you do this wisely, you can take the electricity to generate plasma and be able to use that plasma, which is now light and heat at the same exact time. And you just took the entire thing that they've been sitting there saying they've been trying to achieve for a long time by making fusion with hydrogen, you know, to generate heat. We've been heating water to cook with. We've been heating water to produce steam, to use the steam pressure to turn turbines for how many years? And so everything that I've been trying to say out there that I've been mocked and ridiculed for is exactly what the mainstream media has been trying to achieve for decades. And as I'm sitting there saying it, I'm a nutcase for saying it, because I don't have that big piece of paper on the wall or the fancy lab coat or
you're
the notoriety.
Just a quack.
I'm just
that's
a
all.
Quack.
You're but just a quack. You didn't pay the government the money, you see.
That's it. But since I said it, you know, and I don't have the notoriety or the credibility or whatever, it must not be right. But I said a long time ago on Mad Science Show, I said, you watch. These technologies that I'm talking about now, they will come to the market. But they will come to the market on the system's terms, not on the people's terms. That's why I keep trying to tell everybody out there that this technology, if you want to be the one who decides where it goes, then we the people need to decide where it goes by utilizing it and not allowing the system to take in. It's like, you know, selling somebody an iPhone. You're not going to sell the new iPhone until you sold all the iPhones because you want to make money. You're not going to give people free energy because you want to make the money. And even if you do put out almost an unlimited power source such as nuclear fusion, you're going to do it under your terms so that you can still meter it and you can still make the money. We're the geniuses, we make the power, and we control where it goes, so you pay us the money. That's how the system functions. If you want to have free energy for the people, for the betterment of all the people, then it's going to take the average Joes to do exactly what the doggone mainstream science community, the mainstream industry, and the governments do. They go out and they gather the people like yourselves who have talents and who have skills, and they bring the best of all of you out there in your field to their shops, to their labs. And you work for them, and you sign non-disclosure agreements, and everything that comes out of there belongs to the corporation, belongs to the government, which should have belonged to the people all along. But nonetheless, when you decide to go out in your communities and build your own personal dream teams of the best of your communities to solve issues that your community has, then you will see a change in your world. The rest of the deal is that you take all the best of your best, you send them to their colleges, you send them to their labs, and they control all the ideas and all the knowledge that is gathered up via putting all of those pieces of the puzzle in place. You think that they don't have a dream team? The government has a dream team. The corporations have a dream team. Every successful business, every successful company out there has a dream team. The best restaurant that you've ever went to, it has a dream team. The best of any successful organization has a dream team. Those are where they gather up the people just like you, bring them into their fold. They work for the betterment of that specific organization, company, government entity, and instead of you benefiting directly from it by having this dream team in your community where you guys work together to solve problems, you have to rely on the government because they have the dream team. They have the brilliant minds. They have the white coats. They have the fancy pieces of paper. And so you have to go to them when you need something fixed. I got to call a plumber up because I'm not good enough with plumbing to do the plumbing job myself. I got to call an electrician up because I'm not good enough with the electrician. Now, me personally, I got a wide range of skills. I'm a jack of all trades, but a master of none, so to speak, with exception of my mechanical abilities. But whenever I'm in a jam and I need somebody to work on some electronics that I don't understand, I got to call somebody who does understand. You see how this game is played? They know that, and the moment that you, the people, know that, that's when you're going to see your world get a lot better, and you're going to see people that are suffering in your community have shelter, have food, have electricity, warmth and cool and everything that they need. And by sharing that knowledge and building your dream team in your community, you will make your little section of the world better. Somebody out there tell me where it is that I'm wrong in what I just said.
Well, I think that we are the outside of the outside looking in, but I'm not looking in anymore. I'm not looking inside that system. I'm not interested. Growing up in this country and growing up a Catholic, I was indoctrinated into the system just like we all were indoctrinated into this system. My parents, my grandparents, and so on, all indoctrinated into a system that we didn't realize was a manipulating system, was a cabal controlling system, faction that had a plan and an agenda for millennia that incrementally has been pulling us, pushing us, guiding us into where they really want us to be. Again, lack of critical thinking, morals down the tubes, and fighting each other and divisiveness against each other. This is where we've all been incrementally led. And when you wake up, when you start to get listen to your intuition about things, when you start opening your eyes and opening your heart too, you realize how all of us people, really all nations, black, red, yellow, white, and now brown, are really all in this together. We are not considered the elite. We are not in their club. We'll never be in their club. There is a club. They've made sure that they keep themselves separate, but they've made sure that they became the controllers at the very tippy top of the pyramid and look down upon us, the serfs. I feel like we've never left that the system of the queen, the king, and the serfs. You know, we're still doing the dirty work.
I agree. Did you see my note in the chat there?
What?
Did you see my note in Skype?
Let me see. I did not.
Anyway, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, I see it.
The kings and queens. Look, here on the Knights of the Round Table, I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible because, it's kind of funny, when you think about it. I'm like, I'm the most terrible king in the history of time because I'm not ruthless enough or whatever. I'm a tyrant, all right? But it just... basically, like, same reason I did Congressman Bongwater, because if you look out there, all the representation out there will say whatever they can to get elected. And the moment they get elected, they do totally the opposite of what they just promised you. And the king, hey, I'm believing I got a crown on my head, it's made of gold, it's got diamonds and jewels. Meanwhile, some of my peasants down here can't get a piece of bread to eat. Now, in my view, what a true king would be a servant to his community. What a true leader would be a servant to his community. A true pastor of a church or a preacher or whatever would be a servant to his community. And even you as a person, if you're a servant to your brothers and sisters out there, and you're helping them out, then I can't find any fault to you at all. If you're out there doing, you got to take care of yourself. Don't get me wrong. You have to take care of yourself because you have to be strong in order to be able to be strong enough to help others. But if you're a servant to your brothers, if you're a servant to anyone out there, you're my hero. You see what I mean? You're my leader. That's what
I
believe in.
Aren't we supposed to be our brothers, sisters, keepers?
That's what they say, but a lot of people want to disagree.
I feel that, I got your message, by the way, and I keep trying to have a conversation here, and you keep coming back, so I don't know.
It's all yours.
It's okay. So I was just saying that growing up in this system, I had my own suspicions as a very young girl, and felt something wasn't quite right. I had the ability, and I still have that ability. It's a certain gift given when you are born, and I think we all have these gifts. It's our truth meter or our intuitive sense of things. Intuitiveness is sort of like a sensory perception, meaning it's something outside of your monkey mind. It's something that has nothing to do with intellectualizing things. It's where you shift out of the monkey mind, where you shift into the sense of things, or your sensory perceptions, your abilities for your intuitive gifts. So I always had this, I was born with that. Some people call it psychic abilities. Regardless of what you call it, I think we all had this ability to discern things from that sensory perceptions. It's a different frequency. Truth is a different frequency, as lie is also a different frequency. So you have this ability to determine this, and I think today that's sort of gone out the window. As I've said before, critical thinking, this seems to be down the tube because people are just being emotionally manipulated, So you don't have critical thinking, and you certainly are ignoring your intuitive sensing of things. But I grew up that way. I had that as a child. I couldn't quite clearly identify certain things because I was young, but I had this intuitive sense that something was not right. And certainly growing up as a Catholic, I began very early to feel something was not right. Something didn't feel right. It's the feeling that I'm talking about. A feeling comes to you in a different way. like the feeling of truth, a sense of the truth. It has a different frequency, just as much as a sensing a lie or a falseness. And so this is what I'm talking about, that we need to reinstate this gift, this original gift that was given to every one of us, and practice this intuitiveness, this sensory perception that gives us feedback that is innate within us. And the feedback, of course, comes with a different frequency, a different energy. So we sense things, like, you know, when you meet someone, immediately you sense something, your whole body is telling you something. You feel something about that person, and either the feeling is a good feeling, or the feeling is questionable. You kind of, sometimes it's like a punch in your gut. Sometimes I've had that happen with certain people that have an energy that is not harmonious, or that is not positive or not good. So we have this ability. We sense people all the time. Oh, I really like that person. I don't know what it is about that person, but I feel good around that person. Or we say the opposite. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like being around that person. You know, I can't really say what it is sometimes, but I'm listening to my intuitive awareness, the alertness, the truth meter that goes off, I guess you'd say. So we have these abilities, and I think that we need to reinstate these original gifts, because we need them. It's vital that we use them today, because of the manipulation and because of the deliberate brainwashings in our system. So as generations of people who have been given information that has been the majority of information, I'm going to say, have been lies and manipulation. Our history, we've been lied to about our history. We've been lied about who we really are, our origins. We've been lied to that there are others out in the universe, and now that, you know, that disclosure is being opened up and coming out. We've been lied to about 9/11. We've been lied to about the wars. And we do the bidding, like Shaziz was saying. We're talking about the kings, the queens, and the serfs. We do the bidding of the kings and the queens, the cabal, the elite. It's not their sons and daughters that are out there on the front, using guns to kill other people's children. It's us. It's we, the people.
Don't you find it insane how you can, knowing how to manipulate human beings, you can get somebody who was otherwise a really good, honest, humble person to go out and commit atrocities? Yeah.
Well, you see, this is the seriousness of things that we have to begin to start to research and identify as facts, as real. It's hard for us to imagine or comprehend that there is a level of evil, of manipulation, that another human being could really think of these kinds of things and utilize people's, people's sincerities, people's goodness, to do harm, you know, people's patriotism or people's believing in something to do harm. I mean, I'm just going to talk about this again, because look at the Vatican, look at what's been going on with the pedophilia throughout the church, throughout the world, pretty much. And now people are kind of intimating that this is just recent. Now, some bishop was talking the other day saying this is just recent, and this is tragedy, and this has been infiltrated by homosexuals, and I'm just irate at what that person is saying, because I'm sorry, Mr. Person in a dress with a big fish hat on and all your gold braiding and your blah blah. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. You're lying to the people, because this has been known for millennia, for centuries. History goes back and speaks about the pedophilia, about the violence of these people in dresses, these people who say that they are there in God's name. They claim that they are holy. And this is people believe this. People believe that if they just clean out a few of these so-called homosexuals, well, they're blaming this on the homosexuals, this violations of girls, children, and boys, children. This bishop was saying this is the homosexual infiltration into their church, into their holy church. That's a bunch of bunk. It's outrageous to me. Pedophilia does have nothing to do with homosexuality. It does not. To me, that's my perspective. But this has been going on for millennia, for centuries and centuries. It's known. And now, it just happens to be coming out full force, okay, about the predatorship in the church, in the Vatican, the cover-up of the Vatican, the cover-up of these men who have been violating children. You know, this is a terrible, terrible thing that we are dealing with, but what really concerns me are the people who see this in their face, who still remain dedicated to that system. That is a corporation, one of the wealthiest corporations, ownership of people's minds and souls and bodies. That's all that is. And there is no one that stands between you and your creator. There's no one that stands between me and my creator. There should be no one telling you how to get to your creator. And I also said, you know what? Doesn't it say in the Bible that Jesus died for our sins? Basically. So you don't need anybody to forgive your sins because Jesus died for your sins, by the way. That's what that's supposed to mean. Doesn't mean that you should go around sinning then because, okay, Jesus took care of that. What it means is there's other teachings of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of teachings on how to be and how to live and be good and kind and caring and compassionate and doing good for the whole. But this church, this system, this corporation is dirty and dark, and it's falling, seems to be falling apart. But people will stand there with that church because they are brainwashed to believe that they're going to be saved through that church, through men in dresses who are going to forgive their sins, go say 10 Hail Marys and 12 Our Fathers while I'm over here fiddling around with a child in the back room. And also what I say is this country here, Turtle Island, you had these Jesuits, they called them the Black Robes, came onto this land carrying a Bible, and Protestants and Methodists and everybody else came here carrying their Bibles and telling the Indian people here, the native people here, that you are devil worshippers, okay, that you are heathens and devil worshippers because you're not Christian, but they brought the devil here. They brought the devil here. And this is what people have to know this, and it's a pity and a shame to me that people are still bowing down on their knees to these men in dresses, right up to the Pope, right up clear to the Pope, who said he is responsible for the pedophilia, for what's going on. He knows that they harbored priests through centuries. They moved them here from there to this village, to that village. And here we are today. Where is the critical thinking? Where is the common sense that we are sovereign spiritual beings? We have a spirit of a light within us. We are children of Creator, sacred children, by the way. And we are being manipulated and run by these people who tell us how to pray, how to stand, that we are sinners from the day we're born. Well, and that's my rant because I can't help it because I'm outraged.
I'm outraged
at the sin upon children.
I agree. I think that one of the things that people have to understand is, according to what I believe, the devil's the great deceiver. He doesn't create nothing. He imitates, all right? And imitates, infiltrates, all that kind of stuff there. You know, what Jesus said, that no man comes unto the Father except through me, is because, according to the story, Jesus was the Son of God. Now, whether you believe that or don't believe that, it's at your personal choice. I'm not saying that. But what that told me was that there's no pastor, there's no preacher, there's no system that stands between me and my God. Because Jesus also said that any time two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. Which means if I'm standing underneath an apple tree out in the middle of Nowheresville, And I'm talking to my fellow brother or sister about what we believe and, you know, the differences between right and wrong, what's right. While I'm standing there and that person is standing there with me, that's what Jesus said. Any time that two or more people come together in my name, there shall I be also. So church is everywhere. Church is your body, is your temple. You sin or you don't sin. You abuse yourself or you don't abuse yourself. You try to, you know, live by the, you know, the Ten Commandments. You try to live by, you know, the teachings of Jesus. That to me is what a Christian is. I've been to so many different churches out there that I disagree with because of their political whatever. You know, the way that they put a pastor up on a pedestal, or they throw on a show, a store, a floor show.
Well, they call this person father.
Yeah, well,
okay, you're to call that person father.
I
just have to come in. All right, I have to talk about this because I have to say something. We have to know that throughout our history, throughout human history, millennia, prior to basically the appearance of this person called Yeshua, Jesus, there were others who came to the earth with the same identical message. We know that. If you don't know that by now, you have to find this history because this is true. This person, Yeshua, Jesus, was not the only one who brought the message of goodness and how to be here on this earth.
I'm not saying that. I'm just going from what my own personal deal is. But what I am trying to say, had I would have been, you know, a Christian back in the day when we come over here and we visited America and met these people, I would not have done things the way that they were done in the past, because that's, to me, what the teachings were, had nothing to do with calling people demons or anything like that. That's what, the only reason why I'm bringing that up is because I know that there's a lot of people have a justification for being angry at all the churches of the world. There's a lot of people that have justification for being, you know, not liking the term religion or, you know, religious. I'm not religious. I'm not, you know, I don't subscribe to any religion. I don't subscribe to anything that has any kind of, you know, hierarchy in between me and my creator. My creator could be the very same creator that you have. My creator could, my,
it is, I agree.
That's where I'm at. And that's why I'm not ashamed to call myself a Christian, because if you actually listen to the words of what Christ talked about, you know, loving your neighbor, turning the other cheek and that kind of stuff, and there was wisdom behind all that. Talking about if you had the faith of a mustard seed. You are the mustard seed. Think about that for a second.
My point is, why I'm saying this, I'm not despairing this person, Yeshua. I believe that this man came to the earth just like the peacemaker came to Turtle Island, and just like Buddha came, and just like the white buffalo calf woman came. They all brought the same message. Love your neighbor, be kind, and, you know, the whole list of things. They all brought the same message. I think we have to look at that, because what we're being told with that is that somehow these beings had come down to earth at different periods of time during different civilizations and brought the same message. Have we got it yet? I don't think Jesus ever said, correct me if I'm wrong, build a church. Build churches all over the land.
No,
monster churches,
what he did say had to do with what happened at the temple. When Jesus turned over the tables at the money tables at the temple, basically, if you build a building and you call that a temple and you call that the house of God, then you don't put Caesar in the deal. Because when he shoved over the money taker's deal, one of the people in the crowd said, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? And Jesus said, whose face is on that coin? And he said, why Caesar's? And he said, well, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and render unto the Lord what is the Lord's. Basically telling them that the house of God was not.
I don't think people are listening to the words of Yeshua, I don't think, or the teachings, or the white buffalo calf woman today, unfortunately, or Buddha, or the peacemaker who came to Turtle Island, or there probably are others. There's Viracocha, who also brought the same message. He came over in a great light over Lake Titicaca. The feathered serpent, Kanko Khan, all these beings brought the same message. They didn't say build a big church and wear a dress.
No, but if they would have got the same message, instead of going tithing to a big old church that is looked like a palace, they would take that money out there and they would give it to God or the Creator's people. They would take care
Jesus
of each other.
Did Jesus say give these men in dresses money?
No, he didn't.
No. Did Jesus say build this monster church while the people in the villages are poor and having children because you tell them they must have children because you need bodies? I'm just saying, this is the sad thing to me, is where the people have been herded into and believing in these institutions that are controlling the lives and the souls of people. That's where I'm going.
The story said that Jesus washed the feet of the people. He did. He washed the feet of his disciples. He washed the feet of a prostitute. It's in the book. Read it, you know. He washed their feet. He was a servant to them. He sacrificed his life in order so that, you know, we could have a path back to God. That's what the story is. Regardless of whether people believe it or disbelieve it, the message that he put out there was basically that if you take care of one another, this is where you'll find it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's the way the native people were living. The native people honored and respected the Mother Earth, and they respected all of life, and they were in tune and relationship to creation.
Yep.
Okay? But they did not commit genocide upon each other. They had their skirmishes with their bows and arrows and their spears. They had skirmishes with each other, but they never set out to completely genocide another nation on this land here on Turtle Island. They did not do that, okay? They did not destroy nature. They were respectful and loving of this nature.
Well,
there's a big difference with what manifest destiny determined in God's name, that you can murder and kill and genocide nations because they are not Christian.
Well, anybody,
this is the church.
Anybody who would have done that in God's name wasn't of God, as far as I'm concerned. If you go in there and you tear down a people or a community in God's name, that's, you know, if God wants to, punish people for wickedness and doing terrible things to each other, I mean, he's God. Who can stop him? But what I'm saying is,
well, people say today that where is God? You know, God. Why would God allow this? Why would God allow this murder? Why would God allow this genocide? Why would God do this? Why is blaming God, Creator? You know, people take responsibility for your choices and your free will that you were given by Creator and the acts that you are participating in.
That's why I asked you that question about tough love, because what I was attempting to get to is exactly what you're explaining right now. God doesn't allow a baby on the other side of the world to starve to death. Man does. God gave us all this. Our Creator gave us all that we're standing on right now. He gave us all this to be caretakers of. We have the most beautiful world that we get to live in, and if we was to treat it right, if we was to be respectful with nature and respectful with one another, there is no reason why somebody who's hungry in this world can't be fed. We can amass resources of epic proportions. We can pull tons and tons of weapons and battleships and airplanes and all this, supplies, and we can go over there and we can mop somebody into the Stone Age. Now, why couldn't we do the same exact thing to go over there and feed somebody that's hungry, to irrigate them so that they can, and teach them how to grow crops and how to do fishing and stuff like that? We have the technology available before us to
get
us.
Well, we were told to do that.
Yeah.
That's one of Creator's laws, is to take care of, to be the keepers, the helpers, the guide, the nurturer, the love, the compassionate one towards your fellow humans.
So God gave us an opportunity. We got a choice whether to live in heaven or we got a choice whether to live in hell. Whether you think it's literal or just a parable or whatever. If we do what we could do, we can live in heaven on earth. We can bring about a heaven on earth with the power and the knowledge and the wisdom that we got. With our words, with our actions, we could literally produce a heaven on earth. But right now, we allow a small minority of just evil, rotten people to be our leaders. we allow them to lie at us, we will willingly accept the lesser of two evils just to, you know, make the pain more tolerable. Don't vote for somebody out there that you think is going to harm you. Vote for somebody that you've researched and you believe is going to help you and the community. That's not the way it goes anymore. It's a red team, it's a blue team, or whatever color team, it's that team. And you vote the way that they want you to, and regardless of whatever their agenda is, regardless of whether you agree in pro-life or not there or whatever, it doesn't matter. Follow your blue team, follow your red team, all right? You know, it's the blacks against the whites, it's the browns against the reds, and whatever. All this kind of stuff that these people at the top, they know the human spirit, they know the human heart, they know the human mind. They know that if they push the right buttons, they can get you to fight each other. And that's how George Soros becomes so successful in his destabilization of nations. He can send agitators in there to agitate both sides to get them to fight each other. And sometimes in the name of their own God, they will go out and commit atrocities because they honestly believe that that's what their God wanted for them, to go out there and kill people that they disagreed with. And so we've watched this throughout the entirety of history. We've watched civilizations rise and fall from greed and corruption and all this craziness, while we the people stand down at the bottom and complain, oh, look at the terrible government's done terrible things to us. Look what the terrible government's done. Look what the terrible people have done. If you're an honest, good-hearted soul, and you have an option to go out there and feed somebody, but because of what you were told, that it might not be safe to help that homeless person out. Or if you go over there and you feed that, give that hungry person some money to go out and buy some food, he might go out and buy drugs instead. He might go out and buy alcohol. If you judge anyone out there for whatever somebody else told you, that the possibilities that they might do wrong with your good-hearted intentions to do right, to give them food and shelter and clothing and the necessities of life, then you're falling into what the beast system wants for you. You're doing exactly what they want. You're going to push a section of society away because they're poor. They're not dressed like you. They don't look like you. There was a story told about a pastor that was going to be a new pastor of a church. Now, whether this story is true or false, I've seen this actually in my own personal life of how people actually look at people and how they actually perceive people. But he came in dressed like a bum. And he sat right up front, and there were people in the congregation dressed all nice of higher societies that asked him, you know, politely, could you maybe sit back there because, you know, you smell funny or you don't look right or whatever, and we don't want to offend nobody or something like that, and basically push this man to the back of the deal. Well, then the other real pastor gets up there, and he starts talking to the people out there. And then he starts talking about judging others. And then finally, when it all said and done, when they found out, the man invited the new pastor of the church, because the one pastor was leaving, in front of all the people. And he looked out there and he said, pretty much today's sermon's over because I've already seen what I need to see here. And you all already learned what you need to learn. That these people prejudged him before they knew who he was. And already had him as, you know, a bum, a homeless guy. When in reality, he was there to show them, to teach them something. This is what I'm talking about. If you guys and gals out there want to make this world a better place, there is nobody that you can look to do it for you, except one another and yourself.
Well, we think it's a simple matter of just determining one your own self to do something nice or good, or reach out to someone, or to be compassionate or loving or caring. It seems to be a simple determination, a simple choice that we're all given. But there are circumstances where people choose to be nasty, mean, judgmental, hateful, unkind, careless. uncaring.
Well, because of the way that 9/11 was portrayed, and because of the terrorist thing, I look at when I went out there, and inadvertently, whether you want to admit it or not, you look at people differently because of the way that they're dressed. So if I see a Muslim person dressed the way that Muslim people dress, I have questions in my mind. Wait a second, do they want to go over and get us or something like that? And even in the African-American community, I've been told things from the mainstream society for years. Am I fearful to be within that community? You know, from my own personal experience, I've actually lived in a community where I was the only pretty much white family involved in the entire area. I felt safe at certain points, but I knew that there were certain points in the neighborhood where I probably shouldn't go, because on their side of the spectrum, they were told things about my color that weren't good things, and they didn't like me either. So it was on both sides of the fence. I was fearful to go in certain parts of the area where these might have been some of the best, most loving people who would give the shirt off their back to me no matter what I look like. But because of what I was told by the mainstream media and even people around me all the time, well, you can't trust that person. You can't trust those kind of people. You can't trust them because of the way they look or the way they dressed or whatever. We have been manipulated. We've been indoctrinated into looking at each other in the form of color and race and religion and social status and just everything you could possibly, even political. That is what the entire control structure of the entire world, the global elitist or the hierarchies, the so-called leaders of the world, the money men of the world, that is the way that they use to control what we do to one another in order to benefit themselves financially. It's as plain and simple as that. I, for one, don't want people manipulating me. I went into churches that I disagreed with because of the way that they had the thing set up. It wasn't like a family. It was like a business. It was like a floor show. And to me, that's not what Jesus told me. So I left. And I kept on. I went for church after church after church, just trying to find that one that I could feel comfortable and fellowship with my other brothers and sisters and learn about what God said for us and all this. But I couldn't find it. And I actually found at a point in my life that it was better for me to not go to church for this particular reason. Never mind the fact that I could probably go in that church and lead by example and shine my light, and maybe some of them would actually see what the actual message was. But this is where I came. So even as a Christian and trying to defend my faith all these years, I've been up against a beast that's so much bigger than me. The good book said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and darknesses that we don't understand, that we can't understand. Not even from this realm. We fight against all kinds of evils in this world. But only the path that I'm on right now, I have to understand that you and your friends and their friends and all my brothers and sisters around this world are on different spiritual journeys. And somewhere or another, when it's all said and done, we'll all get together, we'll find out the truth. I mean, I feel like sooner or later the veil is going to be lifted and everything that was a lie is going to be told. Everything that was the truth is going to be told. And we'll find out at the end of this journey who was right or who was wrong. But looking at what we're standing on right now, looking at what we have access, all this digital information and the way that we can communicate to one another, I see that if we use common sense and we use some love and caring, and we could take all this knowledge, gather in our dream teams and our communities, that we can resolve every single problem that we supposedly have. That we
well,
rush
you know,
to our government
there's
for.
There's an exact method to keep us separated so that we can't sit down and talk together.
Yep.
So we cannot sit down and find out, well, wait, that family, that man, that woman over there, they want their children to have peace. They don't want to send their children to war. Wait, they want clean food and water just like me. Well, they have love and laugh and joy in their life, you know. Well, they're worried just like me. I'm just saying.
I would be willing to bet that if you went before any war ever started, and you went to each nation, you had like nation A and nation B, and the government said we need to go to war with nation A or B, whichever one. But if you went to the actual people and you asked those people to vote, should we go to war with this other nation? I would be willing to bet, just like the natives used to do it with the clan mother system, that where they wisely went through and they weighed out the goods and the bads of what could potentially occur and the reasons behind why they think they should go to war, that they would not go to war. I honestly believe that humanity is that good. All right, I believe that the majority of all the people out there would vote against war. No, you know, we don't hate the Americans. No, we don't hate the Russians. We don't hate the Chinese. We don't hate the Americans. And vice versa. We're not going to go to war if we, the people, actually say we don't want to go to war. Because guess who's holding the gun in the war? It ain't the Congress. It ain't the Senate. It ain't the executive, legislative, or the judicial branch of government that is holding the guns. It's you. It's your children. It's your children's children. And they have been doing this to the people for years under the guise of protection, under the guise of religion, under the guise of politics, under the guise of whatever. Manipulating the people to do their bidding. It's so ridiculously simple that most people overlook it. There's a deal out there where, you know, it talks about the simplest answer is usually the right one. But most people overlook it. They overthink every single thing. They overcomplicate it. I don't want to go to war with anybody. I'd love to go to peace with the world. Because I think that what we could accomplish with what we have access to, I think the humanity could excel to such amazing heights. And if there was another world or out there with other people that out there, I can understand why they wouldn't want to present themselves to people that act like this. And I can understand why they wouldn't want to, you know, be involved with this at all. I mean, if you're in one community and you look over in this other one and all they're doing is fighting, do you ever want to go visit? I wouldn't. I'm just saying, that's common sense. You don't go up and slap a bee's nest if you ain't planning on getting stung. But that's what we do all the time. And we allow people to say, hey, yeah, that's it. Go over there and slap that bee's nest. We don't like them. Guess who's getting stung? It ain't the guy that told you to do it. That's for sure. So what do you think, Barbara?
Well, I think that I'm happy from my perspective that ultimately everything will be all right. I think we're in a struggle, a big challenge right now. I think it's many challenges, but I feel it's a spiritual challenge most of all, because we are spiritual beings.
Well,
therefore, we are being challenged, and I believe that there is a system that actually wants to win and control the spirit within us and eliminate that, eliminate our sacredness, eliminate what is sacrosanct, this creation, and bring us into a darker state of affairs. And I feel that there is an awakening, and I see this happening. I also see the jockeying for position of the one who's had, or those who have had control for millennia, who are now being taken down, who are now being exposed. And I think we're in an extraordinary time, and I'm happy to be here. I feel great hope. I'm not disillusioned at all. You know, I don't have that sense of hopelessness or despair. You know, I just feel that this is an amazing, extraordinary moment in our time in human history, and it's awesome, frankly, and I have great faith and trust in something far greater occurring. We see mundane things. We're hooked in and troubled by, you know, the level of what we're dealing with, which to me is just a small particle compared to what extraordinarily is happening on a great in the greater works of things. In that, I mean that you know that I feel that we are not helpless. We are not, and it is not hopeless. I believe we were given extraordinary abilities and gifts to create and manifest what we choose. We've been given free will. We're all in this together. I do say if we were all given a chance, an opportunity to sit down with all people of color and all people of, you know, of a religious, you know, choice, whatever, that we would all find that we are really all the same.
Yep.
We're not different. So that gives me great faith, because I think with this technology, more and more people are meeting other people and finding we are of like mind. And this is the awakening that I think is awesome. And I think that the ones who put this system in, meant to control us, actually they got shot in the foot, because it is being used for something good. It is being used for worldwide communication, where we now can reach people, you know, wherever, all over the world, like we're talking here to our brothers and sisters, you know, in Scotland. We're talking to people in, you know, in Tennessee. We're talking to people in, you know, in North Carolina, and wherever our family, the Earth family, is. This is who we are now in communication with, and that to me is awesome. And that to me also tells me that things are changing in a better way, giving us the opportunity to really meet each other and know that we are really all the same. We're one big family on this earth. We all do want the same thing. People are awakening to realize that there has been a manipulation, centuries old,
yep,
you know, a mind control manipulation. And it's laughable now to see the efforts of those controllers, those elite or the deep state people. It's actually laughable.
Yeah, they're losing it.
It's pitiful to see this attempt, this continuing attempt to manipulate us. And I will not play the game. I will not participate in their manipulation. I am my own person. I am my own being, my own sacred being. I have my own critical thinking. I have my truth meter that I use, and my intuitive gifts that I use. And I have a great love for all of humanity. And I know that some of our brothers and sisters have been taken by something very dark. Perhaps they sold their souls to the devil. I know that ultimately they will find, you know, the repercussions of their actions. And that is not up to me. I'm just praying for everybody. I'm praying for us to be in harmony and balance and for peace. And I'm aligning myself with that frequency, because I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in the power of where we are, and in prophecy is right in our face right now, and it's up to us to either choose to be unkind, or choose to be kind.
I agree.
Choose to be loving and compassionate, or choose to be hateful and judgmental. It's a simple thing.
My bad.
It's not complex, folks.
Nope.
It's in your hands. It's free will that we're given to you. And basically, you know, well, how do you sell your soul to the devil? You determine, basically, to do evil. That's how you sell your soul to the devil. I'm going to choose to do evil. I'm going to choose to do harm to others. I'm going to choose to be a vile, hateful, hurtful person against other human beings, and I'm going to work to destroy this sacred place. That's how you sell your soul, because
yep,
you've ignored the divine spirit within you, the self,
the divine self.
That's your choice, and you get rewards for that are very dark, but your reward, final reward, will come. And that's what I feel. It's not for me to judge. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone at all. I'm just observing of the choices and the free will that people make.
My very most favorite part of any movie that has to do with, you know, tragedy, atrocity, or whatever, is that whenever it gets to the good guy versus the bad guy scene, where everybody comes together and they unite to resolve an issue, to save humanity. That is my very favorite part of every single movie. You know, sometimes I'll watch movies like, you know, a big giant meteor coming from space and the world all joins together, or they fight against an alien, you know, invasion or something like that, you know, Independence Day or whatever. You know, that's what the people actually got to kind of try to figure out, that instead of waiting around for a tragedy to occur, you know, instead of waiting around for, you know, like a Katrina or a 9/11 or any of these other episodes that you could talk about throughout history, how we've lost a lot of our brothers and sisters through a lot of different wars and skirmishes and natural disasters, that we start to think about those things before they ever even occur. You know, we got technology right now where we could build houses that would be nearly indestructible, weatherproof. We got technology right now where we could work in perfect harmony with nature, where we still could enjoy the luxuries and everything that we enjoy right now without polluting our world. We got so many different options available to us. And if we ever decided to, we could ensure that we could build arcs for everybody that's alive. You know, one movie where the world was getting ready to get destroyed, they built all these arcs. The government built all these arcs, and then they held a national lottery, and whoever was lucky enough to be selected got to come on this ark, and they were the ones that are going to survive the doomsday scenario. I say that we save everybody. It's our choice to save everybody.
Well, that's why I say I pray for everyone. I'm not saying, well, I'm not going to pray for that person because they're doing evil.
Yep.
I'm not the judge here, okay? I'm just a woman over here doing my sacred works and trying to walk in a sacred manner, follow the teachings of the Chinampawakan, the sacred pipe that I carry for the people. The people means all people. I pray with that Chinampa for all people. I don't say the Creator. I'm not praying for that person over there. I can't do that because that's not the way of the Chinampawakan. I have to love and have compassion for everyone, and it's ultimately in Creator Great Spirit's hands about what happens to those people. Yeah. You know, I only am participating in the way that I've learned from my elders, you know, on how to walk the Chunkaluta, the Red Road. The Red Road is an upstanding way of living. It's not judgmental. It's not hateful. It's kindness. It's compassion. It's helping the people. It's standing up for all people. It's standing for the Mother Earth and being compassionate and kind. That's the way of life. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not. I have my days, but ultimately,
any of us are.
Well, yeah. We're humans. Yeah. We're a human being.
Yeah.
We're not perfect. But I'm just saying, I do pray for everyone, even those that who have fallen away and those who are lost in the dark, because therefore God, or how do they say it? Therefore, therefore God, go I. How do you say that sentence?
I can't even.
I guess you say, there for the grace of God go I.
Yeah,
I could be
go.
That person. I could be that lost person. I could be a person who has got caught. I could be conceited, as somebody here in the chat says, it used to be conceited and now they're perfect. And I know this person has a lot of humor that they throw out, but I'm just saying, I'm not perfect. And I have to control the stuff that you're imprinted with. Like, you know, I'm not better than anyone else.
Well, I see that we've been shamed. I also see that our time's getting short, and so
yep.
I just want to tell everybody, look, none of us here believe that we're perfect. I'm honored to be a servant to people around me. Because I get it. I get what the meaning of life is. I understand why we're here. You know, do I have all the mysteries of the universe? No, that's why I played that Frog on the Log song at the beginning of this show. And that's why I started off saying nothing makes sense. Because I don't know all the mysteries of the universe. Otherwise, I'd understand why it is that people can do each other the way that they've been doing each other for centuries, if not decades or whatever. I don't know. All I'm saying is, from what I've perceived and what I've seen in my life and what I've studied and researched, I think that we have options and solutions available to us. And if we choose, it's our choice, it's our free will, we all act the way we want to act, and I always told my kids that, you know, even though the other kid hit you, you had to make a conscious decision on how you was going to act back. So, you know, if you already hit him back, then he's already been punished. You done did that yourself. So don't come to Dad and tell Dad, you know, oh, look, such and such has hit me, so, you know, you hit him back, that's a done deal, as far as that goes. Look, we're all responsible for our own actions. We're all responsible for our own lives. And at the end of the day, you are you. You own your own life. And what you do with that life is your choice. It's your free will to do whatever you want. If you decide you want to run around harming everybody and feeding the darkness, then you got to expect that eventually that's going to come back around to you. I'm just saying, we got options. We got solutions that are ready. Whenever the human family decides that we would decide we're tired of living in misery, we're tired of trusting people to do, being our representation. They don't represent me when they're out hurting people. They don't represent me when they're lying to people. They don't represent me when they're falsely accusing people. They just don't represent good people of the world when they're doing that. And it's not them that goes to war. It's us. So with that said, Barbara, once again, I'm amazed at some of the things that we talk about here. And the purpose of this show, I understand. I get it. And the fact that I started off feeling like I'm in this great dark abyss, and somehow or another you reached down in there with your wisdom and gave me a hand up out of the hole again. I appreciate that.
I just got to jerk you out of there every once in a while.
Well, I appreciate that. Because I honestly believe that what we're doing here is important. You know,
yeah.
And all the naysayers can say what they want. But
well, I don't care what they say. Always, you know, a spiritual teaching I received was there will always be naysayers. There will always be someone to attack you. They just show up. That's part of their job. What is important is how we behave toward them, or how we react, or what we choose to do. There will always be someone that doesn't like what you're saying, or doesn't like you, or whatever it is. That's part of our lives. But it is, what do we do? How do we choose, you know? I just want to say thank you to everybody in the chat who's ever listening out there, and Wolf Spirit Radio, People for People, and out there in the world. It's such a privilege and an honor, and really humbling for me to be able to be here with you guys and see your replies in the chat, your participation, and just the love that we all have for each other. And Shaziz, always, as I said to you, just call my name. If you ever need a friend, I'm here. Just call out my name. You know that song? I love that song.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And the same here. I mean, just thank you from the bottom of my heart, just even showing up. And I think, Anons in the chat rooms that come in there and say the comments that they do, you know, it seems like our chat rooms are starting to get a lot more traffic in there, and there's a lot more people saying pretty much the same thing. I think a gathering of the minds is happening. I think that there's a lot of things going on in this world that are good, that aren't noticed, that aren't talked about, you know, and we're watching the miracles unfold before our very eyes. So I do still believe in the dream. I still have hope. And I believe that even if at the worst part of time, we may be on the apocalyptic battlefield at the end of days, and no crazy hair Shaziz is still going to be out there saying, can't we all just get along? We can fix this mess even at this point. I believe we can. That's why I get up and I do what I do. And every once in a while, I need my friend Barbara to come here and reach down in that abyss and pull me out and say, look, man, there's a light again. Shit. Thanks a lot, Barbara, because I didn't know how I was going to get through today. Honestly, didn't.
Well, I'm glad we had this opportunity, and I know we hook up every Sunday here on this show, and it's a beautiful thing, but, you know, we do have Skype, and I want to say, I always say to, don't wait. Reach out. Just say, hey, I could use an ear, or I need to talk with somebody. That's what we're here for, you know. Don't sit with all this by yourself so long, I'm just saying.
Well, I would take that advice, and I will use that. You probably hear from me a whole lot more.
That's okay.
All right, everybody. Peace and love. Live life and love. And if you like what you heard here on the Knights of the Round Table, please do us the honor of sharing it with somebody that you really love and care for and that needs a good message. You know, build a dream team in your community. Help your community help itself. And that's what we're talking about. You have the power. It is within you to do the miracles that you've been waiting for. If you're waiting for a miracle, go look in the mirror. You'll see the miracle you've been waiting for. Just like my grandpa said, you want something done, get up and do it yourself.
Stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh,
one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
many times we've given rise to that quite something able. We're off the magic killer, we sing from the dire Pamela.
I have to push the Pramalot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Seize the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.